If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
The list is out. An eclectic group of both real and animated stars will be honored next year on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The ceremonies attract hordes of fans. The cost of creating and installing each sidewalk star is $25,000. And tonight, 25 famous names are on the list for the 2009 star recipients. Some of next year's recipients include actor Hugh Jackman, The Village People, fictional fairy Tinkerbell, film director Tim Burton, and Latin pop music star Shakira.
Adam West, Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West, Adam West, Adam West. Adam
West. You get nothing! You lose! Good day, sir!
I mean, it's humiliating to me as a fisherman.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't feel kind of like a pothead, do I?
Roll another one.
God damn it, I love pot.
Just like the other one.
Now exactly how much pot
this
did you smoke?
Seems to be about to quit.
Another it's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Omar Khan facing 69 felony counts.
Roll.
69.
Roll another one.
You're on the pot.
Just like.
Tonic is chronic.
This one seems to be about
marijuana is delicious.
I don't have another cent.
Yeah, I feel very, very
stoned.
But don't bogart that joint.
Marijuana's bad. Good.
Just pass it around.
Smoke weed.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
How much you selling that weed for, old man?
And now...
How stoned are you two?
Baked out of our skulls. But you shouldn't do drugs.
You've convinced me.
Our feature presentation.
That was weeds.
It was weeds. Weeds is back, ladies and gentlemen. And Mary Louise Parker has never been hotter.
She is. She's adorable.
It's such a great show.
But I can't imagine that she's actually thinking of smuggling drugs over the border. That is such a notch above what she was doing before.
Well, it does seem like even what she was doing before was kind of ridiculous. You're raising kids, you're living in a normal town, and you're moving weed.
Yeah.
But I think that's fairly, I don't want to say common,
no,
obviously, but I mean, it's understandable how she could rationalize that as I'm just doing what I have to do to get by. It's
right.
Very different than getting involved in the international drug trade and going across borders and stuff like that. I mean, I think we're just seeing the desperation in how little she will accept getting a real job.
At least she draws the line at heroin.
So far. So far she does.
Good point.
That is a great show. If you haven't had a chance to see it or you don't have, is it Showtime?
Showtime.
Yeah, you can get the first couple of seasons on DVD, I think. Or
so worth
how
it.
How many seasons have there been? Three?
This is the fourth.
Yes. Fourth, yeah.
Yeah, so you can get three on DVD, I think.
All watching Channel 7 right here. They're giving us information on how to stay cool. Today
they say
wear appropriate clothing.
Oh,
so take off the parka.
If you have like a ski jacket on or something, go ahead and take that off because that's not good.
Did they interview little kids? I hope about how hot it is.
We can't hear it, but these were just tips that they put across the bottom of the screen.
Okay.
Drink plenty of fluids.
Oh, never would have thought of that.
Wouldn't have thought of that, right? Plan activities carefully.
Like, don't go outdoors a lot and run.
Don't run a marathon today.
Don't run a marathon when it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I heard a guy interviewed on the news, and he said, "It's so hot, I can barely stand it."
mean? Means he's miserable.
Standing, I'm watching the Paul Moyer yesterday, and he's throwing it to Fritz, doing the weather. And somebody explain this expression to me. What's Paul talking about here?
Well, once again, we put our man Fritz Coleman in harm's way. He is out of the lovely KNBC balcony in this record-breaking heat where it's so hot he probably can't even sit down. Fritz?
What? How,
he went to
how
war,
hot does
man.
It have to be before you can't sit down?
He went to war on the balcony.
What the hell?
He's fighting
what
the
What does
sun.
That mean?
Too hot to sit down, I guess.
What could he possibly mean by that? Just meaning that every surface yeah. out on the balcony, like the chairs and tables, are so hot you can't sit? Is that
yeah,
what
but
means?
If you're wearing imagine, pants, yeah. you're fine.
Here's what I like, though. They're putting him in harm's way.
Yes, of course he is.
Stepping out on the balcony, he could actually save his own life just by stepping back in the building.
Yeah.
Not that difficult.
How about the rest of your viewers who go inside and outside all the time, Paul?
Yeah.
They're not in harm's way. They're really just walking down to the car. I mean, you're just standing on a balcony. You're not in Baghdad, Fritz, okay? You're just standing outside at Channel 4.
You think before they went on, he was like, you want me to step outside on the balcony? You'll hear from my lawyers.
I know. It's so hot, you can't sit down. I don't get that. It may be so hot you can't run a mile, but it's not so hot you can't sit down. That's not hard.
Well, it's an exaggeration. No, not that it's hard, that it's too hot to, that the surface is too.
If you're in shorts and you have a car with black interior,
kind of miserable,
and it's been
but
in the sun all day,
yeah.
it might be too hot to sit down.
Yeah, right.
Sort not of. Paul stand, not no. Fritz standing out on the balcony
no.
with his long pants on. I don't know. I don't get it.
And by the way, Fritz, who's going to do the weather, he doesn't usually sit down before he does that, does it? Does
no,
he?
No,
is that
he doesn't
part of his
all.
Weather cast?
Almost never.
Never.
Right?
There's no
yep.
need for him to sit down. It's completely pointless.
So, A, he could, but B, he doesn't need to.
Right, exactly.
Step out on the balcony. Channel 4 is pulling out all the stops on that one.
Paul's been great lately. He really has. I've really, you know how you fall in and out of love with
oh,
Paul?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lately, I can't miss him now. I'm taping his newscast now. He's so awesome.
You know what, Fred? That one really, really hurt.
All right.
That's our boy.
Thank you, Paul. We will continue with our Heat Watch 2008 on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, by the way, the 20th of Poon.
Come on.
I make it rain on them hoes.
That's right. That's what I do.
That's our theme song, by the way.
I make it rain on them hoes.
Kevin and Bean Show, yeah. Also on today's show, we have Movie Beat because it's Friday.
Yeah, this is the big comedy face-off. Neither movie was willing to blink. Therefore, you got the Get Smart opening up today, and you got the Love Guru opening up today, going head-to-head.
Those
are the kinds of movies that would try to avoid the other because they want to get as much box office as possible. But they're gonna split it up pretty good.
Wow.
Somebody's gonna go to a comedy. Usually, they just want one option.
Yeah,
that's
guess,
right.
Yeah. And Love Guru, you know,
maybe
could be good.
Could be.
Could you let us know?
Could be.
Yeah,
good.
Please let us know.
The last
you
one,
are the, you're the canary in the coal mine. You understand that, right? You're the one we send in to see if it's poison.
The last one like this was Walk Hard, and they had a horrible commercial, and I was not excited about it at all. But the movie paid off.
Love the movie.
Like crazy.
Yeah.
But that happens so seldom. Usually it's an overpromise when you see
right.
a commercial and you go, wow, that looks good, and then it's not quite as.
Yeah, that's kind of weird case. That the trailer would under-deliver.
Yeah.
That's a bad trailer person.
Yeah, you think?
That's what that is.
Also on today's show, we have Lewis Black, funny man Lewis Black.
He's
very,
great.
Very funny dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a new book out called Me of Little Faith.
It's about religion, you know.
Oh, I didn't.
Didn't get that from the title with faith in the word.
Well, I mean, it's an expression as well as being literally about religion, but the book actually happens to be about religion. He talks about everything that has to do with the various different faiths. He has chapters on televangelists. He talks about, Jesus on a tortilla, just everything that's kind of related to religion he explores. And it's pretty interesting because he's a real smart guy.
He's awesome. We love him. He's one of our favorites. Also on today's show, we are going to play some highlights from last night's Last Comic Standing.
Uh-oh.
Sam, the Armenian comedian, was on. And,
he's a dish.
Yeah. And I didn't realize when they did the top five worst auditions, I didn't realize the rich pool they were pulling from.
No kidding.
There were a lot of really bad comedians.
Really?
I mean, Sam should really be excited about being the number one worst because there was some real stiff competition.
Wow.
Great.
There were some horrible people. I mean,
I didn't see the show last night. Was Sam great?
Well, you know, Sam, most of it was what we heard before, kind of a little shorter version. Mm-hmm. But the visual is fantastic. They also did a tiny focus on him, like they do ahead of like an Olympic sport or something, where they kind of give you a little background on
his story.
Yeah, his story. Great. Not much, just a tiny little piece. But yeah, he just they loved him. This is what he said afterwards. They laughed really hard. I don't know why it didn't go well. So we're going to talk to the Armenian comedian and give you some highlights of that coming up. We have Joy King from Wicked Pictures on the program today.
Okay.
They're looking for porn titles, and we have a porn title machine here at K-Rock named Psycho Mike. And he's able to somehow come up with those on the spur of the moment.
Well, it's because he watches so many of them that it's almost like it's in his bloodstream.
So we're going to this is election. This is election.
She wanted election and political
election-themed porn.
Porn. Yeah.
So take this poll, that kind of thing.
Why are you using it? That's one of my better ones, dude.
Man, oh. Kevin.
If I can think of it that quickly, then you need to come up with a better one.
Right, it's taking the poll.
Okay, good.
I hope something involves the words John McVane. I hope that's in there somewhere.
Also on today's show, lame ways you found out that you were fired. I don't know if you saw this story. There's a manager in baseball, Willie Randolph, manager of the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the road. I think he was here playing the Dodgers.
Yes, playing the Angels.
Angels. And he got a voicemail at 2 a.m. telling him that he had been fired.
After winning the game.
They won the game. He gave him an inspirational speech. Hey, we can turn things around. We can build on this. This is exciting. Let's move ahead.
Someone's going to build on it, just not him.
Went back to the hotel room, checked his messages. Oh, hey. Left a message, you're fired.
Oh, that's awful.
Didn't leave a message, call us. Left a message, you're fired. That's not.
Don't get on the plane.
That's not how you want to find out.
No.
At the very least, they could let him finish the road trip and come back home.
Yeah.
You know? And then fire him.
Now he's going to fly coach home by
himself. Yeah, I mean, the team got on the plane. He didn't.
I've heard stories of people, not necessarily baseball managers, but people with those kind of public positions who have found out that they were fired because they've seen it in a scroll on the bottom of CNN.
Oh, that's not how
they
you
found out on TV because it was released to the public, and that's how they found out. I mean, that's another example of maybe how you don't want it to go.
Why do they do it that way? Are they just chicken?
Yes.
They don't want to face them?
I think it's really difficult person to person to let someone go because they're going to be upset. It's conflict. A lot of people don't like conflict.
I love it so much. I wish that were my job. It's just going around and firing people. It'd be awesome.
Dude, you could totally. There's a marketplace out there.
Seriously.
That'd be
awesome.
But
they would want somebody who would be good at it, though, who would handle it, you know, handle it delicately.
Yeah, that's not you.
So maybe I'm not the right guy for the job, but I would enjoy it.
But if they're angry at the employee, you'd be a ringer, man. You'd just come in and just destroy them.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they'd come after me with a weapon instead of the boss.
Exactly.
That's true.
So a half hour from now, we're going to do Lame Ways You Found Out You Were Fired. And don't forget K-Rock's Road Trip USA. Did we make this announcement yet? K-Rock's Road Trip USA?
I think the Road Trip USA is a K-Rock.com deal, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Okay. All right. Good. That's Offspring in Baltimore. I didn't know if you had mentioned that one yet or not.
Okay.
They get confusing. They come and go really quickly. 5:42, we will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
And your final chance this morning to win your tickets to go see Jack Johnson before they go on sale this weekend. He's coming to UCLA, of course, and the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. And at 8 o'clock this morning on the Kevin Bean Show, you also get the autographed Jack Johnson surfboard and VIP invite to a barbecue with Jack. The emailers that are Jack Johnson fans are already, they're starting to get desperate at this point.
Yeah, they are.
Because they realize we're running out of hours. But keep listening, your chance to win coming up. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat for Friday. How are you, Ralph?
I'm a little ticked off.
What are you mad about?
A little pissed.
What angers you?
No one told me it was Stupid Hat Day. now Mike's going to win the contest.
Why? What stupid hat does he have?
Oh, you didn't see it?
No.
He was wearing it earlier when you walked in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just dumb.
Looks like...
I think he looks nice.
Really?
What's the name of that hat?
I think it's called the old Jew.
No. The old Jew hat.
Yeah, but he pulls it off.
What is it?
Pork pie?
Pork pie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like a fedora that has a shorter brim.
Or what an older Jewish man wears when he's waiting for his soup.
Yeah, why?
So where is my matzah soup?
I agree. It is very kibitz room, cantor style, and it's awesome. And I refuse to take insults from a guy who's wearing a Jack LaLanne baseball cap.
Good point.
That's true.
Yeah, if you woke up 8 minutes ago, you'd be wearing one of these, too. Just didn't know. Would have worn my sombrero that had lights around it, a battery or something.
This is hardly a novelty.
I would try to compete.
Cap.
You would have at least tried to compete, right?
It's way novelty. It's way look at me.
No, it's not!
Look at me. I want to be Justin Timberlake.
Yes, that's exactly what it says.
Yes.
Guys.
And why, I want to be JT.
Why aren't my cameras working? Do we know how to fix this?
Should be.
Got no camera action over here.
Maybe a little less pretty honked up today. A little more working.
Maybe that's what you need to focus on.
It's on, I think. I don't know what to do for my end. There you go.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Just had to call him over, I guess.
We have to have someone who was whose job it is to make sure that's working before we get started.
That's Mike's job.
What? Someone already has that job?
Yes.
Yeah, that's in Pork Pie's column.
He tests it every day.
Does he?
Yeah.
I see.
Supposed to, I mean.
I see. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? We mentioned at the end of the last show, in case you missed it, little Jamie Lynn Spears, 17 years old, gave birth to her first child yesterday.
Good point.
First of many, I'm guessing. Little Maddie Bryan.
I think it's Brianne. That's what I heard last night. Oh, really? TMZ. Yeah.
Yeah.
She pregnant again?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, she's
one day later.
This baby, they're expecting 5 months from now, so I don't know quite how that works. Ah. She got pregnant somehow while she was pregnant.
That's
We're not
weird.
Quite sure how it worked out. Maddie Bryan, is that how you say it? Yeah.
That's better than Maddie Bryan.
It is. Yeah. Considering Brian is her brother, and I figured maybe that's how she got pregnant. It's Louisiana. You never know.
Sure.
Oh. That's why they named it after
Listen,
her, you know?
It's Louisiana.
That's what I'm saying.
You never know.
As young
that's
as
exactly
she is.
What he just said.
And you mentioned 17. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures or interviews with the kid, Casey, who allegedly is the father. He looks like he's about 13.
Yeah.
That kid. Like, you can't even believe that's the dad.
It's just Trailer Park Beyond recognition. It's just spectacular. It speaking of Trailer Park, if Amy Winehouse was American, that's where she'd live. But she's British, so instead she just does heroin. insiders are saying that she's staying in the hospital for a while, if her family has anything to do with it. Amy was rushed in after suffering a fainting spell earlier this week, as
what,
I mentioned.
Do they really think anybody in the world is going to buy that? It's just a random fainting spell? And I mean, really?
No.
Come on.
But rumors have it doctors are trying to wean her off heroin while she's in there. Why are you in here for the fainting, Amy? Yeah. Why don't we take a look at that heroin problem? Apparently, her supportive family hopes that she can get clean and sober once and for all. That's a good one. Kristen Davis and Cynthia Nixon from Sex and the City.
Boo.
Celebrating the fact that their movie was such a big smash hit, gave themselves a little treat. And what do you think the actresses did?
Bought shoes.
No.
That was a good guess, though.
That is, but that was for, like, the series. If they had a good, you know, episode of the series, they'd buy shoes.
Oh, I see. I don't know.
If the movie's a success, you buy plastic surgery.
Oh, really?
Yes. New York Post says that Cynthia Nixon, the newly minted lesbian who plays Miranda on Sex and the City, had her boobs done.
Oh, she should have thought about that before the movie.
She thought that before she became a lesbian. She'd had boobs. Maybe men would pay attention to her. She wouldn't have to be a lesbian.
You think she's a lesbian by necessity?
Yes. Have you seen her?
I have, yes.
That's what I'm saying. And by the way, how do you get the boobs before she gets those teeth looked at?
Yeah, the teeth is the thing. You're right about that.
Before, and you're going down the hallway to the plastic surgery wing, maybe you want to stop off at the orthodontist before you get to the boob department.
I know I'm going to get mocked roundly for this.
All right,
I'm not free. I'm not at all saying that I think she's hot or anything like
she's
that.
Not.
She's not ugly.
Oh, she's not.
She's not ugly.
She's
ugly.
Not. And
she's
she
kind
has
of average.
No. Moments. She has moments where she's really beautiful. She is.
Well, I'm not going to go that far.
No, she's
during
not
those moments, are you really drunk?
Yes.
Because maybe
I'm
if
sure
I'm
squinting.
Really drunk, that would be the moment she
there
would look attractive.
There are times when she is luminous.
No.
There are times when she's by far the prettiest of the four.
She's luminous.
Luminous.
She's not the prettiest by the four by a long stretch.
There are times. That's all I'm saying.
There's never that time.
Nope, that time does not exist.
She might go through the ranks from two to four somewhere in there, but she's never number one.
She looks like Rodney.
Although, Seabiscuit is always four, though, right? She's always last, right?
Who is?
Seabiscuit.
Oh, Seabiscuit.
Yeah, she's...
Kristen Davis is always number one.
Always number one. That never changes.
And she had a little work done, too, according to the New York Post.
Please tell me it's ass removal.
Is that something they offer?
She sat near me at the Laker game, the last Laker home game. I had no idea she had that badunkadunk.
Was she pushing you out of the seat next to you?
She got back.
No, she had went and had varicose veins in her legs removed. All right, not the sexiest of surgeries, but apparently still needed to be done. So
I love fat asses.
Who doesn't? Is Colin Farrell secretly married? Colin Farrell, a name, by the way, has not been on the radar a lot lately. No. Seems to really not been working much, not much in the public eye.
I would doubt he's married, but maybe.
Maybe he has settled down. He had a steady girlfriend, Muriann McDonald, for a while now. But the Post Chronicle says recently he's been seen wearing a wedding ring.
Huh. Hmm. He had a kid, too, didn't he, Ralph?
Yeah. So they're speculating maybe now he got secretly married once the baby came, and he hasn't told anybody about it. But
somebody corralled that ball throw?
It could be, you know. That could be the reason he hasn't been seen out in the clubs and whatnot, is that maybe he's finally settled down.
Doesn't seem like a good candidate for marriage based on everything we know about him.
It's true. Plus, it's got the ball fro.
He has that.
You know who doesn't have the ball fro?
Who?
Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Doo-Wah Diddy Combs.
He doesn't?
Nope.
You know that for a fact?
He tells the Daily Mail that he likes to wax his nether regions. He waxes down below. Wax.
Wax.
Diddy! Diddy!
That's the sound he
makes. I watched you pee on the internet.
When he's getting waxed, that's the sound he makes.
Diddy!
That seems
apparently bad. He believes men owe it to women to make sure they're well-groomed, so he gets his pubic hair waxed off.
Isn't that more information than anyone needs to know?
Diddy is not shy about sharing himself with
that's
us.
That's true. Yeah.
First the true. Peeing, and then the cocoa butter skin, and we got a lot of information from Sean. More than we need to know.
That was TMT.
It's true.
Karina Smirnoff. You know her from Dancing with the Stars? She just broke up with Mario Lopez?
Yeah.
She said she's coming back for yet another season of Dancing with the Stars, in case anyone was concerned. Don't worry, she'll be back.
I don't care.
And In Touch magazine says she knows who she would like to have as her celebrity partner. She's already asked producers to pursue him. Keanu Reeves. She wants Keanu Reeves to be her partner.
Whoa. Paso Doble. Whoa, it's Tango Night. That'd be awesome.
That would be pretty good.
He'd never do it.
He'll never do it, no.
But wait a second. I just realized I don't give a shit.
In a related story, Keanu is reportedly enjoying a romantic summer vacation with his girlfriend, China Chow.
Hey!
He's with China?
No, China Chow is her name.
Oh.
There's photos.
China Chow.
She's topless.
Is she Asian?
Yeah. Yes. There's topless photos of her?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
But she has Asian boobs.
Think of the name like China Chow. It should be Asian. I'm surprised. She is spending time with Keanu in the south of France and the coast of Italy. They've got Omar's travel agent, so apparently they're doing that all in an afternoon. The coast of Italy and south of France.
By the way, since we talked to Omar on the air yesterday, he has done 41 countries.
Wow.
I just got a text. He's been to 41 countries since yesterday morning at 8:30.
Did he solve the clues and find the treasure or whatever game it is that he's playing?
It is the worst vacation plan ever.
Show he's on.
You hear it is just like The Amazing Race.
Yes.
You hear, hey, he's going to Europe, and you go, wow, that's going to be a trip of a lifetime. And then he tells you about it, and you go, that's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
He's going to be traveling 99% of the time, seeing stuff 1%.
Yeah.
Guys, you can see, I don't know if you've been to England, but you can see everything you need to see in England in about 90 minutes, which is how long he's on the ground.
Well, you know why? It's because it's a new country. There's not much history there. They haven't been in it for very long.
That is true.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Martin Landau, Oscar-winning actor, is 77 years old today. Lionel Richie is 59. I got an email from a viewer. A viewer?
Yeah, we don't have viewers,
he watches the radio while he listens to it. It's very strange. A listener asked us, and maybe we can find this, Psycho Mike, for the bit of tape where Bean was talking about, back in the good old days when he was Flash Phillips.
Right.
When he was talking about Lionel Richie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And he says, Lionel gets Richie every time we play that song.
Yes,
remember
that
little piece of DJ magic?
I think we can find that.
Maybe we can do a little research and pull that up for the next Showbiz Beat when we talk about Lionel's birthday.
Excellent.
He said, I haven't heard that in a long time. I said, I forget how good that was.
He gets a little more Richie every time we play his music.
Wow, that was hard to listen to.
I'm GBGBG Baxter.
Lionel Richie's 59 years old today. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys.
That's what I'm talking about. My hero.
What?
All right. He is 66 years old today. Michael Anthony of Van Halen is 54. Dude's out of a job. Kind of sucks. John Taylor of Duran Duran is 48. Nicole Kidman is 41. And Christopher Mintz-Plasse from Superbad. He's McLovin.
McLovin.
His career's just exploded, hasn't it? Wait a minute. Why is that guy not working more?
He was in something else after that, wasn't he?
That internet thing. Oh. Where they did commercials for him.
Yeah, we've seen the Funnier Die somebody saying his career's over.
He might have too unique a look.
And voice.
I love him,
as
dude.
As anything else.
Bobcat worked for years. Darn this! I can make a lot of movies. That guy can make movies.
That's true.
How can this guy not make movies? Christopher's 19 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Look, no one was surprised when the manager of the Seattle Mariners got fired this week because he's the manager of the worst team in baseball. They're 17 and a half games out of first place.
The Seattle Mariners? Below!
They're having the worst season in recent memory, that's for sure. But a lot of people were a little bit surprised to see Willie Randolph, the manager of the Mets, get fired. I mean, Mike, aren't they right about 500? I mean, they're definitely still in the race in the National League East, right?
They were just teetering on 500 when they came into town to play the Angels last week.
The Mets below, less than the Seattle, whatever they are.
I mean, I know it's tough in New York. I know that they expect to win every single season then. And it wasn't that long ago that the Mets, were in the World Series. But the way that Willie Randolph got fired is what we want to talk about. And it's going to lead us into lame-ass ways or surprising ways or unexpected ways that you found out you lost your job. Listen to this report.
Willie Randolph has been fired as manager of the New York Mets. It was announced in a statement that was released at 3:15 a.m. Eastern Time, a few hours after the Mets' 9-6 win over the Angels in Anaheim.
Nice. So they're here. They're playing the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets
win.
Then the manager goes into the locker room and says, guys, this is a win we can build on. We're going to turn it around now. Goes back to his hotel room, 3:15 a.m. in New York is when they put out the press release. At 3:15.
So is that how he found out about it? Or did they at least called him, though, right?
I believe he got a voicemail in his hotel or on his cell phone.
Oh, my God.
That said, oh, by the way, you're fired.
Oh, my God.
Which is an odd way to do it. I mean, it's odd enough to call somebody and tell them they're fired. You can't wait till they come back to New York?
Yeah, wait till they come back to New York and then call them into your office and then say you're fired. But don't do it on the road. Come on.
Let's say you call him on the road and you get his answering machine. I don't know. That might be something you want to leave a message about. Just say, hey, call us back.
Yeah.
You don't want to go, you're fired. Thanks for your service. You won't be needed. Here's another report.
They alerted the reporters 3 o'clock in the morning, New York time. So what was going on here was that they wanted to keep this on the down low, even though, it's obviously going to get out. So they have time now today to spin this thing when they talk to the media at 5 o'clock.
We want to hear from you about how you got fired, the way you found out about it, that you still can't believe it. 1-800-520-1067. I've only ever been fired one time from one job in my whole life.
Wow.
And it was pretty straightforward. It was exactly what you would hope, which is that the boss calls you into the office and says, it's not working out. And,
right.
See you later. Nothing like this. How about you guys? Any stories?
I've been fired a lot. Hard to believe.
Got fired from Romper Room. We learned that yesterday.
I got kicked off. Yeah, it occurred to me yesterday, by the way, that all of my stories were before I started drinking. Everyone else that called, they had drinking stories.
Sure.
But he called me into the office and said, you're not doing what we want. And I said, really trying? And he said, see ya.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's a pretty straightforward firing also. That's at least they face you and they give it to you in person.
Yeah, it's not. It seems like people hate doing that, though, because it's really uncomfortable.
It is. It's hard.
The person, you don't know how the person's going to react. So they try to get around that somehow. I'm sure people get fired through email all the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm sure they get messages all the time.
But, I am surprised about the Mets guy because sports in general, they're pretty brutal with each other. People get traded and it doesn't seem like your feelings are very important.
Yeah, and you understand if you're the manager of a baseball team that your job is on the line. You understand that. It's not a surprise.
But you don't expect
I'm surprised they'd be afraid to face him.
But when you're on the road, I mean, you don't expect to come back and go, hey, your room's been rescinded. Sorry, not so much a room for you.
Willie, great news. You don't have to get up early to make the plane back to New York tomorrow.
And he didn't. The rest of the players got on the plane, flew back to New York. He stayed here.
Oh,
licked his wounds. 1-800-520-1067.
We're going to take your calls right now. We'll start with Russ. He's in Irvine on line two. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Hey, Russ. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Russ.
How did you find out you were fired?
Well, ironically, I was actually flipping through the Penny Saver looking for a new job so that I could quit my loser job as a kennel hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw an ad for a job as a kennel hand at the pet hospital that I was currently working at.
So you found an ad for your job in the Penny Saver while you were looking for another job.
Yep, and I took it to my boss at the time, and I said, is this what I think it is? And he says, oh, yeah, we're going to fire you as soon as we find a replacement.
And you're all outraged.
By the way, is there any way that it worked out better for you that you found out so that you could get fired rather than quit? I mean, was there any, like, severance or anything like that you could get, or no?
No, not back then.
Not for a job like that, right?
It was a loser job, and, you know, it wasn't going anywhere anyways. But
that's hilarious. That's very funny.
You weren't good at it, apparently.
Penny saver, not how you want to find out. You get fired. Let's say good morning to Justin, who is calling from Anaheim. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning, guys.
How did you find out?
I got a picture message.
A picture message?
What's that?
Yeah, with a picture of a finger pointing to me. And it said, you're fired at the bottom.
Was it from your boss?
Yes.
It was like an e-card or something?
I got it while I was on vacation.
Probably he said, here's my cell phone. Take a picture of me pointing. And then he sent it to him.
That was it.
Pointing at you.
Oh, my God.
He didn't even try to be nice about it. It was pointing to you like, you're out.
Exactly.
That is sweet.
What kind of work were you doing at that time, Justin?
I was working at Goodyear.
How about that?
Wow. That guy really didn't like you.
It's creative.
That's bad year is what that is.
Oh. Nice.
Nice.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. Damien from Long Beach, you hold on, and we'll take some more calls when we get back. If you found out in strange or weird or annoying ways that you'd been fired.
There have to be people, too, and I want to get some of these calls. There have to be people where you're the last one in the office to know. Like, the word has already gone out, hey, today's the day we're firing Joe, but you don't know about it yet. So everybody's, like, kind of being weird about it, and then somehow you find out before you're supposed to. I'm sure that happens all the time because, let's face it, a lot of times that information is not kept under wraps until it's needed.
Yeah. That's one of those deals where they go, don't tell anybody, but.
Right.
And
right,
then they say, don't tell anybody, but.
Right.
We'll take your calls when we get back at 1-800-520-1067. We told you about the story of Willie Randolph, who was the manager of the Mets, and they were out here playing the Angels, and he got a voicemail about 2 a.m. saying, we're going to let you go. Sorry, thanks for all your work.
That's not how you want to find out. No. And he's a guy that was, am I wrong about this, Mike? Very popular guy, too. Likeable guy.
Unbelievably loved in New York as a player and as a coach, yeah.
Yeah, it's just not the way you want to handle it. I don't think it makes the franchise look good, but... Yeah. I'm sure they say, look, we had to do it as soon as we made the decision. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067, the ways that you found that you got fired. Let's talk to Matt in Los Angeles. He's on line 4. Call on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. It's Friday. Hey, Matt, welcome to the show. What's up, man?
What's up, Kevin and Bean? What's up, Lisa May?
Hi, Matt.
What's going on?
How you guys doing?
Good.
I was on my way to work one day to pick up my paycheck because it was payday, and I was really excited, you know, and opened up my paycheck, and it said final paycheck.
Oh, dude.
Wow.
Nobody said anything? You read that? That was the first thing you knew about it?
Yep, and I opened it up, and I was like, final paycheck, so I call my manager up, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, we have to let you go, and pretty much that was it, so I just walked out in the middle of my shift and never came back.
They couldn't have told you that before you got the check?
Nope, I guess
why are
not.
People bad?
This is bad. Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Matt.
Line 1 is Damon or Damone is what I hope in Long Beach. Hey, Damon, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, it's Damon. Good morning, party people.
Good morning. Hi.
How'd you find out?
I was a teacher in a trade school, and the director came in with about an hour before school was out in front of my students and says, hey, can I talk to you in the hallway? I said, sure. Go out in the hallway. He says, well, how about the front office? And I was like, okay. He says, how about in the big boss's office? And I was like, all right, I'm screwed.
Aww.
Sat down, give me my checks, and they say, well, you know, no hard feelings, of course. So I had to go back and tell the students, hey, guys, I won't be your teacher tomorrow.
Why could they not wait for an hour?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was 2 days before Thanksgiving. They could have waited until the next day when I had an off day
cleared
out my locker, you know, with nobody there. I don't know. It was just an a-hole.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know why you don't think about. I mean, like, it's not traumatic enough to be fired. Almost no one likes it. I mean, at least make it as palatable as possible for the person who's getting fired. That does suck.
I guess. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Damon. All right. Let's see. Let's go to Larry in Santa Clarita. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, gentlemen. Lisa.
Hi, Larry.
How did you find out you were fired?
So my boss, I had worked for him for a few years. He helped me plan this. I had a big guy's ski trip that I went on out to Telluride, Colorado, and cost thousands of dollars.
Nice. Right.
We did it the right way.
Right.
He's helping the entire time because he had been out there and had some great recommendations. So he's watching me spend all this money. I leave for my trip, and
you know, I can't leave the office without checking back to it, just right. the way I am. And I couldn't get into my voicemail. So I'm thinking, glitch in the system. It's not the first time it's happened.
So you're calling back to work to see if there are any work messages that you need to know about.
Right. You know, you can direct dial into your voicemail okay. through a code, you know, all sure. that. And it's broke down a few times before, so no big deal. So I try and log on to the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. So I'm thinking, you know what? I'm on my vacation. I'm not going to let it bother me that, you know, this is all busted. I'm going to enjoy myself. I come back from my trip about $12,000 later, and he went and returned my calls. I call into the voicemail system the same way that a customer would have.
Right.
And instead of hearing my voice on the message, it says it's his voice saying, Larry's no longer your representative. Please contact 1-800, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
There it is. That's the part we were waiting for right there.
So he turned your voicemail off, never returned your calls, and then changed your voicemail at work, but never told you.
Never told me. Total premeditated.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know what I did to piss this guy off, but it was clearly something along the lines of knocking his little daughter up or something like that. I don't know. But
did you knock his little daughter up?
I did not.
Okay, just checking. Thank you, Larry, for the call.
Thank you for the call, Larry.
That is unbelievable.
That is.
That guy is such a chicken.
He's working so hard to not tell him, but still to tell him.
I didn't think there was any chance that suffering through Larry's call was going to have such a good payoff, but he actually pulled it out at the end. I got to give him credit for that.
Let's go to Melissa in Van Nuys. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are good.
Good.
How'd you find out you were fired?
Well, it was my birthday, and I went to work. I was working as a telephone sex operator at the time.
All right. And,
whoa.
And I was sitting at my desk, and they came and they brought me balloons and cards.
Yeah, what happened? What happened
and
then?
They took me into another room where we were sitting, and I thought, "Oh, cool, I'm getting a party," you know. And I turned around, and they fired me for being late on my birthday in front of the whole crew.
What?
And I thought, well, oh, well, take the day off work. I'll go visit my grandma. So I drive out, and I'm driving past Azusa, and I get hit by a car and rolled my truck across the freeway. So it was a pretty cool birthday.
Good times.
Best day ever.
How do you
know? Hey, Melissa.
What name
did you use, by the way, when you were phone sexing?
Trisha.
Okay.
Well, I think I've talked to you.
No, I'm just kidding. You recognized your voice.
How many times do they fire people to do phone sex? Isn't that one of those things where you can kind of get in, make whatever money you want, get out, but there's,
you know,
not like strict policies.
Were you bad at
there
it?
There is strict policy.
You must have been horrible.
No, I was. Oh, come on now. It's a strict policy. If you're late or absent 3 times in 1 month, you're out.
Wow.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Wow.
Hard times at the phone. I didn't mean that.
What about our Jewish fans out there?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because Beer Mug has joined us in the studio. Good morning, Beer Mug. How are you?
Good morning, Bean guys. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you. Now, we live in a city where there are more Latin people than white. Is that correct? More Hispanics?
I don't know if it's more yet, but it's getting close.
Yeah.
It's at least even. It's at least 50-50.
Yeah, I think so.
So it always cracks me up when people do commercials and they have the voice people that they pick are clearly faking the Spanish, you know, speaking accent.
Because we got people to do that?
Well,
it seems like
you got your pick. I mean, because a lot of people speak Spanish and English.
Right. Sure does.
And they
like
would
that.
Sound normal doing it.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I like about us at K-Rock. A lot of people here do it as well. Who do we pick? Jewish guy. That's who we pick.
Yeah. What's up with that? We got plenty of Hispanics working at K-Rock who could do commercials if that's what's called for.
Well, no. That's an understatement. You would have to go out of your way to find someone that is not Mexican.
Right.
At noon at K-Rock, you would have to go out of your way to find someone.
That's a good point,
It's
Mike.
Almost impossible not to. So I don't know how they pick Beer Mug, but Lucha Vavoom, which is the world's greatest Mexican wrestling, is coming down to Orange County, and they're advertising. And so they said, let's find somebody who speaks Spanish well. They got Beer Mug. And I don't know why, but Beer Mug is doing kind of a Spanish accent, but only if it was a vampire.
Like a split of Jews.
Like a Spanish vampire, sort of.
Really?
Is that what you guys got?
That's what I got. You tell me. This is the commercial for Lucha Vavoom, and it's our man Beer Mug.
Lucha Vavoom is piling their masked Mexican wrestlers and burlesque beauties into some souped-up muscle cars.
Lucha Vavoom! Lucha Vavoom! Lucha Vavoom!
New Java Boom is hitting the highway to make its Orange County debut.
Okay, now, that is clearly not...
That's Vampire, right?
It's 100% Vampire. It is
New Java Boom.
It's totally the Tim Burton movie. What was it? Was it Ed Wood? Was that the one that had Bela Lugosi in it?
Yeah.
It's totally what you're doing.
Your neck.
What? Is this,
that's your Spanish
accent? Does this sound like people who speak Spanish to you?
Kind of sounds like the Count, too, from Sesame Street.
That's what I'm saying.
Five
totally.
Bats.
Right, but didn't you realize that while doing it?
No.
Okay, here you go.
Lucha Baboom is hitting the highway to make its Orange County debut Friday, June 27th at the Grove of Anaheim. See wrestlers from Mexico, Texas, and Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Did you like how I said
Tejas?
Tejas?
Tejas. Come on, Muggs.
The creatures of the night. What beautiful music they make.
Why would you not try? Well, did you not try? Or is this really an attempt at sounding like a Mexican?
Sadly an attempt.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Mug, how come, let's go back to Kevin's original point, which was when they pegged you for the job, it would be like the Lakers deciding to call me, okay? Why didn't you say, I don't know, why don't you talk to Mike or talk to Omar or talk to, you know, any of a thousand other guys that work here that could do this without trying?
Well, I figured that I was the most qualified being that, you know, I am Jewish.
That's true. That's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah. No, that's a good point. That makes perfect sense.
At the Grove of Anaheim, see wrestlers from Mexico, Texas, and Los Angeles battle in the ring and lovely ladies dance in the maze.
Lovely ladies dance in the maze.
That is awesome.
That is awesome.
Come on.
Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster and the Grove of Anaheim box office. Don't miss the Lucha Vavoom Friday.
Don't miss the Lucha Vavoom.
Did Vasquez make this commercial?
Yes.
Did he put you up there?
He put me in the studio and the magic comes out.
I think Brian Vasquez is like, this is like bum fights. Like he's trying to get Mugs
I agree.
And see how far he can go bad in the bad direction. He'll be like, watch this time, guys. And he's just going to come up with more ridiculous voices for you to do.
I agree.
And you're going to look like more and more of a fool, and he's just going to stand back and laugh.
Bring him on.
I had this commercial. I had the audio of this commercial on my computer before you were finished.
That is awesome.
After Brian was like,
you have to hear this.
27th at the Grove of Anaheim.
At the Grove of Anaheim.
Oh, that is fantastic. Can
what
I
are
say
you
one,
doing?
Can I say one thing?
What are you doing?
Ralph, better watch out.
Because now you're the man of a thousand voices.
That's right.
What the?
Lucha Baboom is hitting the highway to make its Orange County debut Friday, June 27th.
That's what we do. We need a Mexican-sounding person. We bring in the Jew.
Wow.
Hey, Mug, now that you've had your say, can I say one thing?
Sure.
You have failed conclusively. It's over.
Yeah.
And there is nothing that you can do here in this room that can turn that around. Nothing you can do that can make up for what you just did.
That's true. That's true. Stop it.
I'm sorry.
Ralph, did you see? I know you broke the story early this week about how Coldplay was being sued for ripping that song off by the creaky doors
creaky,
or the creaky floors.
Creaky boards.
Or, creaky boards. Sorry. Did you see Coldplay's statement that came out yesterday?
No.
Showing that they've got proof that they were actually in a studio. He didn't go to the concert. He wasn't where the lead singer of the other band said they saw Chris Martin in the crowd. He wasn't there. And that song had been written and demoed 7 months before that concert ever even happened. So there's no way even if he had been there and heard it, it could have had any influence on the song that was already done.
Lion freaking Brits, man.
And you think that overcomes the lead singer of the creaking boards thought that he might be in the audience? That's stronger?
Coldplay says, we're not going to sue you, but we want you to retract the claim and make an apology. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But, I don't think any of us ever feared that
I gotta take
stealing.
The side of the creaky boards in this
really?
One. Yeah.
Do you? Really?
Well,
you think so?
Given everything they've done to us and as much as we know about them, you gotta give them the benefit of the doubt.
Sure.
Coldplay, bunch of liars. We've known that for years. Liars.
It's 6:54 on the Kevin DeMean Show, Friday morning. Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, dude?
Speaking of liars, how many times has Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses told us Chinese democracy was on the way?
700.
All times.
All times.
This is an album that has been in the works for, I don't know what, 14 years?
Something like that.
But he crazy, right? That's the problem here,
we got
right?
Chinese democracy has been making since 1994.
Right.
And so that makes it 14 years.
Yep.
He's hired and fired so many band members since he started this process. Who's even on the record anymore?
So far, the album has cost over $13 million to make.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Only Axl Rose remains from the lineups that have gone through making this album. But now I'm telling you,
It's finished.
Sure. We've
now,
heard that before.
Axl says it's ready.
We've heard that before.
Nine.
Remember when they played Inland Invasion and that was all the talk is that Chinese democracy was going to come out
that
soon?
They were back.
Yep.
Nine mastered tracks have surfaced on the internet.
Oh.
They've been leaked on a site yesterday, but have since been taken down. Six of the tracks have been leaked in less completed versions before, but three of the tracks have never been heard.
Okay.
Including songs called Riyadh and the Bedouins.
That's going to be good.
Yeah. Okay, good.
By the way, they played in the invasion, didn't
did they?
Riyadh and the Bedouins?
They were good.
I think so.
And If the World. Apparently, everyone who's listening to these said it's remarkable. It's got the group's trademark guitar riffs, but also includes piano orchestrations and some flamenco influences.
Oh,
in a perfect
I love world.
Me the flamenco. Just makes me want to get my castanets out and dance, dance, dance. We've got a few clips from these tracks, okay? This is from a song called Better from, supposedly, Guns N' Roses' long-awaited Chinese democracy. That's pretty good.
That might be good.
Yeah.
That might be good.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Here's another one called There Was a Time.
How great is male ass?
I don't think that's
not it, right? That's wrong. It. Here's the Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses.
I hope Axl's still sporting the cornrows, though. That was a good look for him.
Yeah,
and
strong.
And the face tightening procedures.
Yeah.
And if they go out on tour, I hope they keep up their blistering pace of only showing up for about one of every three concerts, too.
Yeah. That's what you want in a band, is the possibility they won't show.
That's right.
And lastly, here's the title track from Chinese Democracy. Welcome to China! We got democracy!
Wow.
Yeah. That sounds good.
That sounds like the best track.
Yeah, that's the one I want to listen to.
All right.
Janet Jackson is signed to do a new reality TV series for MTV.
Okay.
Okay.
Daily Variety newspaper broke the news yesterday. It says she's going to TV, trying to raise her profile. The reality series, The Search for the Next Janet Jackson.
What? She's going to replace herself?
Her
yeah, she's finding a replacement for herself. Isn't that bizarre? A reality show to look for pop music's next Janet Jackson.
I like it. I like it. It's a hit. I think I'll keep watching it.
Produced and hosted by Janet Jackson. What, does she have a terminal illness or something?
What the hell?
She has to find her successor?
Well, her records suck now, and she's already been replaced by any number of other very talented artists that are out there doing the good music, the kind of stuff she used to do.
But what does the winner get? Does the winner get to use her name?
Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
You have a lot of plastic surgery, and they will teach you how to be Janet Jackson. TV Guide says they are searching YMCAs, churches, community centers, and other places for Janet Jackson's successor.
Okay.
Very odd. Speaking of reality television, David Archuleta couldn't go to a school prom.
Aw, poor
Who's
David.
Who's that?
The runner-up from American Idol this year.
Okay.
He was the one all the ladies thought was dreamy.
Sure.
He's a homo.
Oh, stop it.
There is that.
Apparently, he has quit school to live his father's dream of becoming a pop star. And so David will be homeschooled while he does the Idol tour and works on his upcoming CD. So he's done with school.
Oh, he was the kid with the crazy dad that came in and got kicked out?
Yeah. 16, 17-year-old who his dad has pulled him out of high school now. So
nice.
That should really... I think, add to his development as a man.
Sure. That'll work out well.
I think so.
Leave school.
I can't think of a contestant on American Idol in recent seasons that I would less want to buy a record by than David Archuleta.
Screw him.
That's right.
Interesting casting news. They are making yet another Robin Hood movie. I think after Sherlock Holmes, Robin Hood is the most filmed fictional character in terms of TV and film versions.
I can see that.
It's called Nottingham. It'll be directed by Ridley Scott. Sienna Miller has signed up to play Maid Marian.
All right, then.
In the retelling of the classic Robin Hood story, Russell Crowe will be the sheriff of Nottingham.
Yes.
He was the bad dude. No word yet on who will be Robin Hood, so I guess they're still waiting to cast that. But.
How is the Costner version? I never saw it.
Oh, it's god-awful.
Yeah, really?
It's
not,
worth watching. It's so bad.
It's really not good.
His
it's
accent
horrific.
Just
comes and goes.
In and out. Yeah, it's really bad.
I will rescue you, Maid Marian, and then we will go and we'll fight evil, and then we will go and fight with our armor and our swords and arrows, and then we'll get all the gold from the rich people and give it to the poor.
Yeah, the accent would just go away.
In the span of a conversation, he would lose the accent. Terrific.
I found on iTunes, by the way, the Robin Hood on the BBC America.
Oh, you guys said that's really good. Great. Right?
That's really
so good.
Series
so
is great.
Good.
Really
sort of the adventures of young Robin Hood on the BBC show.
That's well done.
It is well done. So I think Ridley Scott doing Robin Hood could be very exciting.
So could be, yeah.
Could be good work. While we're over there in England, talking about all things British, I know Kevin loves him some Queen Elizabeth, too.
Oh, yeah, she's the best.
So I want to mention that apparently the Queen likes to get down.
Sure she does. She likes to dance.
The British, exactly. The British newspapers are saying she dances all the time inside Windsor Castle.
Of course.
Her favorite song to dance to?
Macarena.
Dance, dance.
Well, that's her second favorite, the Macarena. ABBA's Dancing Queen.
What?
Dancing Queen.
Come on.
It comes on, and she says she can't help dancing because, and I quote, "I am the queen, and I like dancing."
Come on.
That's not a quote.
She didn't say
that. She didn't say that.
I don't know whether she said it or not, but it's in this story.
It's, I'm the queen, it's reported as real.
I like dancing.
This
Hello,
is the same.
I'm taking a dump.
This is the same thing as she likes to play the Wii. Remember
She's
that?
The Dancing Queen.
Shut up.
Wow.
Wow. I hate her.
In more Queen news, Fallout Boy bass player Pete Wentz will apparently have a cameo role during the next season of the Showtime series Californication.
Oh, really?
Yay, knee pads!
He'll be performing on that show as himself.
Okay.
Oh!
All right.
Okay.
Pete Wentz shows up as himself on Showtime.
His daughter probably will be interested in him.
Dave Gundy's daughter on the show.
So there you go.
Into music.
There's your Fall Boy update. Today's celebrity birthdays that got an ass full of them. Christopher Mintz-Plasse from Superbad is 19 years old today. Josh Lucas.
Nice.
Matthew McConaughey light. Half the calories and half the fat of the actual Matthew McConaughey.
He's a good actor, though.
Josh Lucas.
He's
pretty good. What's he been in?
You see Sweet Home Alabama with Reese Witherspoon?
We Are Marshall.
Did you see A Beautiful Mind?
Did you see the horrible shipwreck movie, the remake?
Oh, Poseidon.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Oof. He was the gambler in Poseidon. Oof. He was the guy who gets everybody out.
That was
that
rough.
Dude.
Yeah,
he's bad.
That
he's
whole
37.
Movie was dead.
Nicole Kidman's 41. John Taylor of Duran Duran's 48. Michael Anthony of Van Halen is 54. John Goodman is 56. How has John Goodman lived to be 56, by the way?
No kidding.
That's a good question.
He has his own gravitational field now.
He does.
He is massive.
He's a Plutoid.
He is a Plutoid.
Screw him.
Lionel Richie is 59 years old today. Speaking of Lionel Richie.
Couldn't find it.
Oh.
Still looking.
Okay.
Couldn't find it.
We're trying to find a piece of tape where Bean pays tribute to Lionel Richie, which is very entertaining.
In a way only Bean can do.
Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys is 66 years old today.
Oh. does he have a quote, Ralph?
Yes.
And Nick birthdays because there's cake and candles. And acid.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Ralph, we didn't have the skills to handle it properly, but many, many years ago, Kevin and I got the opportunity to interview Mr. Wilson. And
oh, really?
At the time, we didn't air it because we didn't realize the magic that we had because it was so nonsensical and so sad that we just looked at each other and said, we can't do it. Now we would have really, dived in headfirst. We'd loved it now.
It was
at
just
the time we didn't know what to do with it.
Lost Kevin and Bean tapes.
It was rough.
It was rough.
It was rough. I mean, I can find comedy in anything. That was rough.
It was just sad. It was like, he didn't make any sense. He didn't understand any of the questions. It's, you know, he could barely talk. I mean,
the daughter's good. Music sometimes.
That's about what it was like,
Apple pie can be crusty.
And I was just devastated because, I mean, Brian Wilson's, you know, like my favorite singer ever, kind
He's
of.
Best.
And I knew almost nothing about him.
Such a thrill to meet him. I was just so excited that I just was like bummed out for a month afterwards because he was a vegetable.
A month.
So just a vegetable.
I like to be in this guy's your hero. Really?
The hell? Well,
apparently he's come along more in recent years. He's sort of gotten some of his faculties back.
Yeah, a little bit. It was we caught him at a very, very low point. He played us. Oh my God! He took us into the studio, Ralph, and played us a rap version of Surfing USA that he had recorded that he never released. And we heard it. And you can't believe how bad it was.
It must have been like stepping through the looking glass for you guys. You're like in this bizarro world.
Oh, yeah, it was sad. I wish we had it, too. We would love it today, but back then we didn't know what to do.
I like chessmen's chainmail. I lost an entire room with chapstick.
Dean was crushed. Dean was visibly crushed.
I love his interviews. It's just madness.
Maybe we should set up another one.
Maybe we should.
Who am?
Let's all go over and hang out with Brian Williams for a while.
And I take eggplant sometimes and make it a slipper.
So you did hear it.
I did hear it. Yes. I'm Rob Garman. I walk the show this beat.
Look, I know people often ask, Kevin, I mean, why do you keep having Sam the Armenian Comedian on? And the reason is we have a lot of hours to fill and our standards are low. I mean, that's our excuse, okay?
I find him hilarious. How dare you?
I know you do. I know you do. But why does a network, a television network that is broadcast around the world, why would NBC have Sam the Armenian Comedian on as they did again last night on their very popular Last Comic Standing? What's that deal?
For the same reason that American Idol gets great ratings the first 8 episodes when they have people on that think they're great.
Yes.
In this case, Sam is great, but I'm just saying, you know, they like to do that. So they're having an international competition, and they make it sound like everybody's coming in right from wherever. So they introduce Sam, the Armenian Comedian. They show him on an escalator, and they start talking to him about the competition.
Welcome back to our international comedy search. Right now, a late arrival from...
What a surprise. Sam was late. Huh. Is that possible?
Hey, let me guess, because it's the international edition, so they have comedians flying in from France and Germany and England and Austria and stuff like that, and then Sam's representing Glendale? Is that what happened?
Armenia. No. He just came right from Armenia.
Armenia threatens to change the balance of our competition.
Competition? I heard there some people are coming, but I am not afraid of them. Ra-cha-cha, ra-cha-cha, whoop-a-cha-cha.
Okay, so he starts out good. He's not afraid of the competition.
All right.
Let's bring in the producer, executive producer of this show. David Friedman, good morning.
How are you guys?
Last Comic Standing.
Season 6 already for your show, is that right?
That's right, 6 seasons, yep.
And where do you rank Sam the Armenian Comedian, if you're ranking in terms of the worst comedians you've seen in 6 full seasons of the program?
Well, I gotta tell you, this is my first season producing the show, so for me, it was like a bonus treat because it was my first sort of introduction to the best of the worst comedians that are out there, so he's my favorite this year. But I can't really compare him to previous seasons.
But I gotta tell you, I took that for granted until I watched last night's show, and there are some other comedians on there who are pretty much as bad as Sam.
That's hard to believe.
I know.
It is.
Wow.
David, what is it? I mean, I guess it's the same as the American Idol kids who really believe they can sing. They don't hear when they're singing what we hear. Is it the same thing? These are people who legitimately believe they're funny, or are they doing it just as a goof?
I think it's a little bit of both, just like you have on the other shows. I think part of it is that some of them actually think that their stuff is good, and they think they can get some laughs. And some of it is, I just want to be on television, and here's a competition. I'm going to line up and give it a shot.
I can speak for Sam, as I have a long relationship with him, believing that every word that comes out of his mouth is gold.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Sam, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you, my friend?
I'm so glad that even though I didn't win or won, I don't care. I'm care about Armenian people are listening on TV, me.
Right, that's a good point. Okay.
Armenian people are listening on TV, you. That is true. I can't argue with that.
Now, you hold on. We're going to go through a little bit of the tape.
How you all doing?
Now, that's my favorite thing is because there's two people there. There's two judges.
Yeah.
No one else. No audience. No anything.
How you all doing?
How you all doing? Two judges are like, we're all right.
How you all doing? My name is Sam Manishan. I'm an Armenian comic. My kids, they went to high school like this.
Okay, now this is his opening joke, so you would think, right? This is his chance. He's on a TV show.
You don't get a lot of time
here. He's going to come with the gold. He's going
to
bring
his
best.
These auditions, you really do have to. Am I right about this, David? You got to catch the judge's attention because some people don't get but 10 seconds on stage and then they're booted, right?
Best stuff right at the top because you don't know when they're going to cut you off.
Yeah, they'll cut you. If you're bad enough, they'll cut you off midstream and say thanks a lot. Well, like they do on American Idol sometimes. So here's Sam.
My kids, they went to high school like this.
What's happening?
That's funny.
Well, Sam, what were you doing? You were making a face or something? What were you doing?
No, I was having the low pants jeans, you know, underwear.
Oh, yeah, you pulled your underwear up high.
Yeah. Yeah, underwear funny. Up high and low belt.
Right.
You know,
yep.
Pants oversized. You know how
sure.
kids are wearing these days?
We know.
So you're... lately, they've been picking it up a little bit. You know, I don't see as much.
Okay, that's an
important
observation. That's why it's good that that's the centerpiece of your act. It's something that the kids aren't really doing anymore.
So he starts with that, and the judges are not, they're not doubled over with laughter.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
You like magic trick?
Then he comes right back with magic trick. And I'm not kidding you, Sam. Am I describing this magic trick correctly? Because it's obviously you can't see it on the radio, but you were blowing up your stomach.
Yes.
He put a thumb up to his mouth, and he acted like he was blowing into the thumb. And then as
like
he,
a balloon.
Yes, and then as he blew into his thumb, he made his stomach stick out further, yes. like he was blowing it out.
Oh,
and this is magic.
Isn't it last comic standing, Sam? Why not a joke?
A joke? I was telling you, I didn't want to tell a joke because my wife and my sister, they really push me not to touch the women, not to touch, no cussing.
So you had limited topics that you could choose from.
Yeah.
And blowing up your stomach is one of them.
You know, I can do many things as much as, you know,
yes,
the wind
you can.
Blows, that's how I do it.
That's correct. Okay.
But Sam said the reason he didn't tell a joke is because his wife didn't want him to touch women? That's what that's his explanation?
No, his wife didn't want him to tell jokes about women.
Tell
I think
jokes
what
about
he
women.
Right.
Don't tell jokes about certain things. Right, Sam?
Okay.
I can tell jokes about, you know, political jokes,
right.
sport jokes. And
or you
that.
Can blow up your stomach and say it's a magic trick. So here's how that went.
Yes. Yes.
I blow up myself like this.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Now, just before that, he popped his stomach with his other finger.
Oh, that's funny.
That's what he did.
And then also I put my pinky finger on my belly button and I released myself.
That's kind of what I was just saying.
That sure is hilarious.
Yeah. All right. And then he goes on.
That's great.
Thank you. Can I do my ventriloquist ads for a few jokes?
No, we don't have any. We ran out of time.
Is that what's in there?
Yes.
This is what goes on in our studio, too, is that people argue over Sam and how long to keep him on. I love him. I can talk to him all day. Bean sometimes runs out of patience
yes.
with him. And I say, come on, one more chance. And it never pays off. It just never does.
I was finished. I was completely done. You can't top that.
Dude.
Okay, yes. Okay.
And yet he did.
So he brings out his ventriloquism dummy, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sam, you didn't do any jokes with the ventriloquism dummy. You were adjusting the microphone. The ventriloquist dummy fell to the ground and its head came off.
Yeah.
And that was the end.
That was the end.
That was it, huh?
Yeah. So
but you know what?
So let's recap. He's got his kids go to high school, high underwear, okay?
Yep.
Right, high underwear.
He magic trick blows up his stomach.
Like a balloon.
And then finally that. So that's
so,
good.
So zero jokes then, not one.
Very good. Thank you for coming. God bless you.
Actually, Sam, you were very, very entertaining, but I don't know if that's right for this. So
thank you
very much.
Okay, so they told him he was funny, but they don't think he's right for this. Now, Sam is interviewed afterwards, and he does not understand.
They laughed so hard. I don't know what's wrong, what happened.
They laughed so hard. I don't know what happened.
Well, Sam, I got great news for you because David Friedman is still on the line. He is the executive producer of Last Comic Standing. So you're one of the few contestants on the show who gets a chance to have it explained what went wrong. David, why wasn't Sam allowed to go through to the next round?
It was comedy gold. We just had too many other people, I guess.
Yeah. Too many other people, Sam.
Well, you know what? Give me another chance, Dave, please.
Yes, Dave. Please give him another chance.
Well, you know, you got that. You won the number one slot of the best of the worst, so I guess you can turn it around and say it was a victory this season.
Trust me, he already has.
Yeah, he has. He's very pleased with his performance.
He's already spun it that way.
All right, last...
You know, K-Rock calendar, Mother's the next week's shooting, Dave. Come on, I'm a big shot. You should log on bornhigh.com, H-Y-E.
Okay,
Dave,
no one knows what you're talking about, Sam.
Dave, he's a big shot.
Dave, let me ask you this before we go, and that is he ineligible to apply again when you do your next casting call for season 7?
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, we encourage him to come back. We had a great laugh with him.
All right, Sam.
There we go.
Sam, one last chance, Sam. Tell him a joke that'll turn him around. Go.
Okay, this doctor went to the, you know, circus, and he saw a funny clown, you know, doing the aerobatic and all that. And then he says, oh, my God, I should tell my patients to do just like that clown.
All right, David, you made a mistake. You clearly made a mistake.
David?
He definitely should have started where it started with that. When he
admit to us
it
that...
His, it was his own fault at this point.
Admit to us that your show made a huge error by not pushing him on through.
Wow, there's always next year, isn't
All right. That's Sam, right. There's always next year, dude.
You know what? I can cuss. I can do many things.
All right, Sam, we're out of time. Thank you very much for coming on with us. Last Comic Standing, of course, airs Thursday nights on NBC. David Friedman, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you, Sam. You're the best.
Thank you.
Why do the doctors want their patients to be like the clown? I still can't figure out the joke.
See, that's what I love about Sam is he delivers it as if it is a joke, and then even those of us who have heard him tell jokes before, we try to figure out where he might have been going with it.
Because sometimes you can
sometimes you can tell what he's shooting for, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's like a diamond mine where it's just a gigantic rock, and there's a tiny little diamond in there somewhere.
Right.
And you just got to have vision, but sometimes you can't figure out even where he was going with it.
We don't have special glasses. That's what you need.
Maybe he's like M. Night Shyamalan, and it's yes. us. It's not him. Maybe we're just too dumb to see the magic.
See, he's too deep.
It's 7:32 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Joy, who works with Wicked Pictures, needs the help of the Kevin and Bean Show. She's trying to come up with some porn titles for the election season. So we'll talk to her in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got some ideas for her. First, though, we're going to be on vacation next week. And one of our K-Rock listeners, I want to thank Chris, alerted us to the fact that we're going to miss a very important day on Monday. Anyone have any idea what that might be?
No idea.
I sure don't.
Well, I hope he was right, Lisa, because he said it was your birthday Monday.
Oh, this coming Monday. Yeah.
Yes, because we're going to be on vacation.
How does that not strike you?
I was thinking it was a week from Monday.
I don't know. Monday is Lisa's birthday, and
that
historically we call the
K-Rock. If you are a first-time
usually
caller,
we call QVC.
Oh, you're going to call for my birthday?
We're going to call for your birthday early because we're not going to be here. But, Lisa, we always call QVC, and you've been complaining for years how crappy the gifts are. So Alex suggested we mix it up and call Home Shopping Club that none of us watch and none of us have ever called before, so we have no idea what they sell this time of day.
Interesting. I like the twist.
I think she asked Kevin to press something.
Yeah.
This is going well.
There's no connection. We don't have – it's gone. There's not a
dial back. I didn't really give you time to set this up. Yeah. So we're calling Home Shopping Club, and what we do for Lisa for her birthday and for Christmas. So twice a year on the Kevin and Bean Show, we call one of the shopping networks and buy what's ever
Welcome
on the screen
to
for
HSN.
Her.
If you are a first-time caller, press 0. If you are an existing customer, please enter the phone number on your account,
the buttons.
Beginning with the area code this or your account number.
Shall I call on my cell phone?
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to work. Mike's going to pick it up and try and dial for over there.
Okay. Do we have the right numbers that we need to enter here?
What's happening, Mike?
Maybe Alex could come in and help
us.
Good, since
we're good.
Okay.
She's going to connect us with a professional.
Here we go.
Whatever it is. We don't know what it is.
No, we don't have a TV on. We have no idea.
I'm very happy.
She gets it, whatever it is. Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry for interrupting. Hi, it's HSN. My name is Pamela.
Hi, Pamela. It's Kevin and Bean and Lisa, and we're on the radio in Southern California on K-Rock. And, where are you?
I'm working for Home Shopping Network.
I know, but
call agent in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Florida. Great.
Florida?
Well, here's the deal. On our show, twice a year, we call and buy what's ever on the screen for Lisa, our traffic reporter on the show. Now, we do have an account, and we're not wasting your time. We seriously are going to buy whatever's on the screen, but we're a little bit nervous because we don't know what it is, and we're a little bit fearful of it.
We're not
just
watching.
Roll the dice.
It's nothing to be fearful. It's the Serious Skincare Super Mel C. You can get a single shipment or an auto ship.
Okay. We'll go
so
single. Go ahead.
It's basically a cream. Now, let me see what your choices are here within this cream line.
Okay.
You can get an antioxidant skin beauty cocktail. You're making me nervous being on the radio. That's
No,
you're doing well.
You sound terrific.
You're doing well.
You can also get a Super Mel C antioxidant beauty cream.
Okay.
Or you can choose the Super Mel C antioxidant beauty cream for the eyes. Or you can get all three.
All three.
No!
Do I get all three?
They come in a kit, right?
How much is it? How much is all three?
Let me see how much all three is for you. I'll pull it up.
Thank you.
I can't decide, you guys.
It's $49.50.
Oh, you can spring
Let's
for
just
all
go
three.
With one. How much is just one? How much is what's the cheapest single one? Yeah.
Come on.
It's a great question.
The single one is the eye cream for $24.50.
Okay. That's better. That's way better.
These are by Jennifer Flavin Stallone. That's Sebastian Stallone's wife.
This is made by Sylvester Stallone's wife.
Look, if you get me all three, I might look like her by the time by,
we get back,
you know,
from vacation.
Like a month, yeah, by the time we get back from vacation.
Listen, we are splitting it, so maybe we can go for all three.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. All right. I'm just happy it's not a diamond or something.
Lisa, well, I've been sell your diamonds, by the way.
Can I sign her up for the auto ship?
No.
Just once. Just a single time. I've been wanting to give Lisa cream for years, and I'm so excited that today's the day we finally get the payoff.
Okay. Oh, my God.
All right.
Telephone number beginning with the area code.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to put you on hold, but okay. Somebody else is going to pick up and give you all that information, okay?
All righty.
Thank you.
Day.
You're fantastic.
Thank you for your help. Bye-bye.
Face cream.
Not bad.
She was peppy.
At least it won't break. Like some of the other things you've given me.
That's not face cream.
First, though, Kevin, I know it's your favorite time of year. The election is only, what, 4 or 5 months away?
Dear God.
The porn industry is gearing up, of course, for a new slate of titles that are going to be coming out later this year in honor of the election of 2008. And our friend Joy King is on the line. She's the vice president of special projects from Wicked Pictures. You know, Hail to the Queef is the one that I was going to pitch. But I don't know. I don't know if that's a video they're interested in making over there at Wicked. Hey, Joy, welcome back, my dear.
Hi, how are you guys?
This is one of the things that we love, I think, the most about porn is that they have such a good sense of humor with the titles. Every time Joy sends over a giganto box of porn,
yep,
we make the interns read the names because they're always funny.
Now, Joy, I set it up properly. I'm correct in that. You guys have got your thinking caps on because you're looking forward to making some movies this year that kind of tie into whatever people are talking about. In this case, it's the election, right?
Absolutely.
Now, you sent over an email that has the four that you've already made are Gallup on his poll, We the People. We the Peephole. I can't say the next one, can I?
No.
The Iowa Caucus. But there's two S's. And the 50 State Masturbate. Now, those are the ones that you've done.
Right.
Two of them you tried to get through, but your bosses wouldn't let you do?
No, he was a little concerned that they were a little too racy.
Obama and Your Mama, first of all, which is, now, I think, a great title.
Yeah, what's his problem with Obama and Your Mama? Nothing makes more sense than that.
Well, I was going to spell it differently. But I couldn't get it.
And McCain's Main Vein is also one that you couldn't get through, and I think that's an excellent title.
What are the rules, Joy, when you're making a porn movie? Like, you can't make a movie where you have somebody playing McCain or somebody playing Obama, right?
Right. I mean, there's a parody, but we try and maintain a certain level of quality, and he doesn't want to insult people, and I can respect that, so we try and stay a little more straight and narrow. But
oh, good. So that's why you're turning to Psycho Mike?
Exactly.
Because you want to stay on the straight and narrow?
Hey, wow. I would imagine that there are a lot of potential white voters out there who are looking at Barack Obama, who's a young, good-looking guy in good shape, and they're starting to think about a little jungle fever, I would think. I mean, it seems like it'd just be ripe for that kind of movie, you know?
Yeah, I would agree.
You know how some people pretty much come out of the womb, like Kobe came out of the womb playing basketball, or Michael Jordan came out of the – Mike came out of the womb making up porn titles,
so
I think.
True.
I'm pretty sure that that's just his talent.
Yeah.
Don't understand it. Don't ask questions about it. It's just that's the way his mind works.
You know, yeah. He gave us a lot of good ones last time, so I'm really hoping he can come up with something creative for me.
All right. So the theme is the election. All right. Here's Psycho Mike now to run some by it.
All right. First off, we'd be making a big mistake if we didn't reference the last 8 years of President Bush.
Okay.
So how about 8 years of Bush, no more Bush, the stimulus plan, right?
Not bad.
Bush recovery. All those. And you could just, you know, you could have the patriotic theme, the presidential theme, plus, you know.
Sure.
Okay. All right. There's a lot of potential for the direction that 8 years of Bush could go, too. I mean,
sure.
I could see where that movie's already headed.
Right?
I'm not sure we'd want to do that one.
You don't. Okay.
The kind of the blanket patriotic theme, we have red, white, and goo.
Love it. Nothing wrong with that.
The chief of staff.
Chief of staff.
That's good.
And hail to the beef. Much love for Hail to the Queef Bean, by the way.
That's pretty good, right? All right. Well, we got a whole series working already now.
Sure.
In 2004, you could maybe reference the Hanging Chad and invent a whole new sex act based around the Hanging Chad and have a movie series.
Make a sex act called the Hanging Chad?
The Hanging Chad. I mean, the name, it's built right in.
Okay.
Of course, the Caucus series. That just writes itself.
That's a done deal.
For you GOP fans, we have the John McVane series that we've talked about. John McVane brings the pain.
I don't think John McCain. What was it that you did, Joy, that they didn't accept?
McCain's main vein.
But you could just have a character, John McVane, right? John McVane brings the pain. John McVane makes it rain.
How about a series where he plays a POW and he has like really, really hot like Vietnamese captors that come in and like do
what
things to him?
What the hell is wrong with you?
No, but think about that. I mean, it's a total tie-in.
Nothing
McCain
sexier.
Thing.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going there.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
Listen, this is our ideas are too low for her to put in porn.
All right. All right.
Come
all
on.
Right. All right. For you fans of Mr. Barack Obama, how about Baraki Bukaki?
Perfect.
Come
Joy?
On.
That's pretty good.
Okay, good.
Barocked and loaded.
I like it.
Barocked me like a hurricane. How about the O-Face office? Instead of the Oval Office, you have the O-Face Office.
Oh, the O-Face Office. I like
that.
All right. All right, that's all I got.
Joy's not writing any of these down.
I noticed that.
No, I wrote them all down.
You did not. You
she
liar.
Is, and then she's going to go and she's going to make them without telling me, and then I'm going to see those titles on
no,
the shelves.
No, we're giving them to her. These are gratis. You know that, right? She doesn't know us anything.
Last time.
She doesn't know us anything.
I'm
We're
really
just happy to help.
I really stand behind Baraki Bukaki and Red, White, and Goo. I think you can go for
pretty good.
I
totally like it.
You can go places with that.
In fact, Joy, I'd like to put in an advance order for those from Wicked Pictures. And I also want to see We the Peephole if you're sending any over, too. Joy King, VP Special Projects from the great Wicked Pictures. Thanks for coming on the Kevin to Beat Show. Have a great weekend, my dear.
All right, you guys take care.
Thank you, Joy.
The new Jaguar XF is an exciting fusion of
the
sports
new
car
Jaguar
and luxury sedan. For an exhilarating test drive, visit your local Jaguar dealer.
When did they force you to say Jaguar?
Is the new Jaguar.
When did it become three words?
Pronunciation. J-A-G-Y-O-U-A-R-E.
G-A-Y.
Jaguar. About 5 years ago is when they started doing it, to answer your question, Kevin, because I was outraged at the time. Because for years it was Jaguar. It was always Jaguar. And then for some reason, some doofus in a commercial started calling it Jaguar. And now it's everywhere.
It's the Jaguar.
Exactly.
It's Jaguar.
I'm supposed to say it like that.
It's supposed to be more regal, I guess.
It's the British pronunciation.
The new Jaguar.
It's like aluminium. It's like instead of aluminum.
God, I hope I don't ever have to say that.
In England, they say aluminium.
Well, they're bad in a lot of ways. They have a queen. All right. You're Lisa May. Blah,
Jaguar.
Blah, blah, blah.
Jaguar.
Jaguar.
Jaguar. I've got British house guests.
Oh, you do?
This week.
Staying with you? All right.
Yeah, our friends from England are staying with us, and they say a lot of honked up things, man.
Yeah.
Pasta. Should we go to the Italian restaurant and get some pasta?
Pasta?
Is it possible that since they came first that we say a lot of honked up things?
No!
I'm just asking.
Why
just suggesting
you
maybe.
Freaking country?
Says, well, I'm just saying.
Says the guy who can't say vowels anymore.
Yeah, King George. Why don't you go back? Why don't you go back and see how you like it over there in the mother country? We here in the colonies think we're number one, okay?
We're the ones who bastardized their language is all I'm suggesting.
How dare you? A lot of people don't know. Being born in England.
Yeah, how about that? Loves the Queen, born in England.
He's a freaking foreigner.
Freaking redcoat is what he is.
He's a redcoat.
That guy. What do you need him for?
Oh, come on.
That's right.
Maybe they're better than us.
No.
I didn't say that.
Maybe
just
they're right and we're wrong.
There he is. 7:59, KRQFM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. The Showbiz Beat is on the air. Here's Ralph Garman.
Jaguar.
Jaguar.
Why do I have no cameras? Seriously.
Again.
Seriously.
That was him.
Two problems.
What's up with you?
Bad.
Well, next week we're going to be great.
Jaguar.
Here's some TV news. Matthew Perry returning to television. Former Friends star, of course. Former star of Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Mm-hmm.
Returning to television in a TV comedy about a radio talk show host in Rochester, New York, called The End of Steve.
I like him.
I do, too. It's so funny. For about 2 years, I shopped around a comedy that I wrote about a morning radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And every executive I talked to said, radio, television, just this doesn't work. Radio, television just doesn't work. No one wants to see a show about radio. Nobody wants to see a show about radio.
It's Nobody's just yours.
Nobody wants to see a show about radio. Matthew Perry wants to do a show about radio. Then all of a sudden, it's the greatest idea.
Hey, that's a great idea.
Sliced bread.
Why didn't anybody come up with this before?
I had to say to them, what about WKRP in Cincinnati, Frasier?
Frasier,
a lot of shows
News radio?
Radio that have been fine, that have been very successful. No, it's just radio and TV just doesn't work.
Yeah.
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 Bastards.
Unless Matthew Perry's in it.
Hollywood.
Then they're in.
Hollywood and their bastards. Those bastard Hollywoodians. Christian Bale.
Oh!
Of course, coming in the new Batman movie that opens this summer, The Dark Knight, says he is much happier with this film, not because of its script or its cast or his performance, but because of the costume. They made a better costume for him this time.
Okay.
He said in this costume, he's allowed to move his head. something that he couldn't do in the other bat suit for about 7 months of shooting.
Oh, no.
That's got to be frustrating.
That seems restrictive.
When you're doing this, it's like you got one of those neck collars on after you've got whiplash. He said this costume was much cooler, much lighter, and allowed him a much more comfortable experience. And that's all we care about, Christian, as long as you're comfortable. That's all that
matters. You can never let it show on your face.
You know who's comfortable in her films? Keira Knightley.
Yes.
She apparently appears naked in her new film, The Edge of Love.
What?
And she said, regarding her appearance, she goes, I have no problem getting naked in my films. I always bare my breasts. Keira Knightley, everyone.
All right, then.
We're on your side, Keira. Thank you so much.
I, too, am a big fan of vagina.
Speaking of breasts, it's about time that American actors start going over to England and taking roles in their TV series.
Yeah.
That's
true. Is
that
enough of the Brits coming over here and stealing our movie and TV roles? Hugh Laurie and
other
people.
People
who are British to star in American series.
Right.
You know, that Swing Town, that Swinger series on CBS, mm-hmm. the lead in that, Jack Davenport, is a Brit. He was in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies and a series called Coupling over there in the BBC. Well, Uma Thurman has signed on to star in a new BBC television drama in England called My Zinc Bed.
That's odd.
What's it really called?
My Zinc Bed. The bed that eats.
Yeah.
No, it's just called My Zinc Bed. She'll be co-starring with Jonathan Pryce.
What's that title mean?
Who knows?
What? How the hell do you expect me to know what the title means?
Because you know all
they
things
just
television.
They just announced the casting. That's all anyone knows about this project. And yet you must dig deeper.
I'm just curious.
Does she still get a bell?
No.
Uma Thurman?
Yes,
she does.
Yes,
she does.
Really? Yes.
Hell to the yeah.
I was just watching my Super Ex-Girlfriend over the weekend. Right. She still gets a bell.
All right.
And lastly, Tori Spelling is grieving the loss of her longtime canine companion, Mimi LaRue.
Mimi did good work.
Tori has released a statement saying she is devastated over the death of Mimi LaRue and calls the late dog a star and true lady who will be greatly missed.
Oh, dear God.
Okay, listen. We love dogs. Every one of us loves dogs,
Kevin,
on this show.
Mimi LaRue was a star and a great lady who will be truly missed.
Yeah.
She's not Elizabeth Taylor, for Christ's sake. Yeah, she's a freaking dog.
She's a star, Ralph. A star.
Holy crap.
She's a star.
Why are people?
That's a good question.
Can you imagine releasing a press release about the death
your
of your
dead
dog?
I'm
that
devastated.
Is bizarre.
She was a star and a true lady who will be greatly missed.
Oh, dude, lame.
We wouldn't even miss Tori Spelling that much if it were her who died.
Oh, dancing in the streets. You kidding me? Today's celebrity birthday is Martin Landau. A very talented actor, Oscar winner. He is 77 years old today. Brian Wilson, the musical genius behind the Beach Boys. Who blew his brains out with drugs.
He did.
Good
he's,
times.
He's one of those guys that doesn't have to do drugs anymore, but still...
He gets all the effects without having to have to do the drugs.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's in a perpetual state of euphoria.
Kind
of
sad.
Yeah. 66 years old today. Lionel Richie is 59 years old. Anyone? Anyone?
Can't find it yet.
No Lionel Richie tape.
Sorry.
You're not even looking. You're not even looking.
You can recreate
you're
it.
You're not looking.
Other people.
I'm
like
telling
crazy.
You, you're not looking.
He's looking like crazy.
He's not.
I am.
He is.
Bean used to be a top 40 DJ named Flash Phillips.
That's correct.
And we used to have a piece of tape where he would play a Lionel Richie song and come out of the song and say, that's a song by Lionel Richie, and Lionel gets richier every time we play it.
Flash Phillips. Flash Phillips.
W-A-B-A. Yep.
Flash Phillips.
That was me.
Gets richier every time.
Did that promo for you? Gets richier every time we play him.
Yeah.
Nicole Kidman's 41, and Josh Lucas, the poor man's Matthew McConaughey, is 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So we came up with a formula yesterday, Kevin, if you recall, that you take the temperature that you hear on the radio.
Right.
Like in yesterday's case, I think it was 111 is what they were saying.
Yeah.
And then to find out what it is at your house, you double it and add 13.
That's correct.
So I think you were about 225 at your place yesterday.
Yeah, it's a little warm. But what I love about Southern California is when it gets hot, the news stations go crazy. And they never really have anything to say except for, wow, isn't it hot?
Right.
But they try to present that in so many different ways. They do interviews. It's just ridiculous, the coverage that they have.
It is 85 degrees here at 11 o'clock in Sherman Oaks. Earlier today, this thermometer got up to 104 at around 4:30 this afternoon. Yes, we are in a heat wave. It is sweeping Southern California.
When you looked at your car thermometer and saw 107 today, what did you think?
I thought it must be wrong, so I drove a couple minutes and it went to 108.
There's been at least one heat-related death, an elderly woman found dead in San Bernardino County.
They say that if you absolutely have to go outside, wear light-fitting clothing.
Oh. Check on the elderly people in your area.
Because it's been so hot lately, we do keep the windows open at night.
All right.
At Woodland Hills Park, these soccer dads sit in the shade, making sure their kids don't overexert themselves by kicking around in the hot sun.
We're not worried about it.
That's my favorite right there.
That's what they can find.
Because if you're out there and you're talking to the dads about keeping their kids safe, and they say we're not worried, maybe it doesn't belong in the it's too hot to live piece. You know? Maybe go find somebody else that thinks it's hot.
Are there really people who need the news to tell them,
no,
be careful, don't be outside too much, drink lots of water? I mean,
wear loose clothing. Really? Are we retarded?
Well, I'll tell you who Channel 4 has got on the beat, who's out there every single newscast, is our friend Doug Kriegel. He's out there reporting for KBC, yeah. And he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock right now. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you today?
We're very good. Well, how are you?
I'm excellent. Out here on the streets of Southern California, it is Heat Watch 2008.
What is it like for you as a reporter when they tell you again today that you've got to go out there and make news all day long about something that we all know everything there is to know about?
Well, as you know, when the hard stories break, NBC sends me out into the field.
Doug, yeah. How come you can never get enough air?
It's freaking hot out here, that's right. Why.
Okay.
Temperatures today expected to reach the low 300s.
I don't think
that's... I hadn't heard that. Wow.
It's so hot that while reporting yesterday, I had to pay a UCLA co-ed $600 to rub frozen yogurt all over my nude body.
And that's different than normal?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, just checking.
It's hot. So, please wear light clothing and drink lots of fluids.
That's great advice.
We've already had one heat-related death in the 909. An elderly woman died. But because it was the 909, the police are calling it a mercy killing.
Probably best for her. Yeah, I think so.
It's hot.
So you're supposed to make news all day by saying it's hot.
Yes.
And what else are you going to do?
Well, here's a man on the street now. I'm going to ask him, sir, how are you staying cool in this heat?
You know, I wear my basketball shorts and just a light tank top.
You're very hairy, sir.
That sounds like beer mug.
No.
Okay.
It's a passerby.
A passerby. Okay.
Doug, a passerby, as you would say.
All right.
Right. Why is it on the news they insist on interviewing little kids about things like how hot it is? Like, what am I going to learn from watching 6-year-old Bobby talk about it's hot out?
Because out of the mouth of babes, oft time comes vomit.
Yes. That's right. True and yet unrelated.
Especially when it's hot.
Yeah.
And you pay them $600 to rub frozen yogurt all over your body.
Yeah, you mentioned
all the
that
kids
twice.
Too.
Wow.
Sure.
Didn't realize they did that
takes
as well.
Takes more kids. They have small hands.
Any other passerbyers, Doug?
Nope.
No, shoot.
Doug, are you ready to quit this crappy job? Have you had about enough of what Channel 4 puts you through every day?
I've got chafing where my balls rub my thighs.
Oh, that is not good.
It's hot.
It is hot.
Moist.
Yes, yeah. Hot and moist.
I've got a moist crotch.
Would you characterize it as chilly out today, Doug?
It is less than cold.
I see. Less than cold.
Yes.
So you're saying it's warm-ish.
I would say on the scale of hot
to
not hot,
right?
It would linger towards more hot range.
So I didn't hear the end of that.
Hot range.
Okay. The hot range?
Hot range, I think is right. Hot range.
Hot range.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're going to be out there until 11 o'clock tonight, so please enjoy.
And I mentioned my ball sweat.
You did. Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple times. Any other passerbyers?
Here's one.
Okay.
No, it's going the wrong way.
Okay.
Woodland Hills Park, these soccer dads sit in the shade, making sure their kids don't overexert themselves by kicking around in the hot sun.
We're not worried about it.
Okay. That's good. That's good work.
Glad they're on the scene for that interview. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Lewis Black in the 9 o'clock hour. It's 8:26. This is a big, big weekend at the Cineplex. We're talking about a comedy face-off, and Ralph is here with the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
Speaking of movies and Lewis Black, before I get to the movie beat, I caught Man of the Year over the weekend, the Robin Williams comedy about a John Stewart-esque type comedian who becomes president of the United States.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember when that was out, but Robin Williams was in it, so I didn't go see it.
And I remember seeing the trailer saying, oh, this looks horrible.
Yeah.
And I watched it because there was nothing else on. I was flipping around. It's a very, very well-done film.
I am really? Shocked.
Is Lewis Black in it?
Lewis Black is in it and is excellent in it. It gives a great performance.
Wait a minute. The Robin Williams one?
Yes.
Or he's a comedian?
We were talking earlier today about trailers versus actual films.
Yeah.
And the trailer for that movie was horrible. Made it look like just a schlock fest.
Yeah.
But it's actually a much more serious film than you would ever possibly imagine. Barry Levinson, who wrote Diner and Wag the Dog and Rain Man, and you know, a talented writer and director, wrote and directed this film. And it's really, really good.
With Robin Williams.
Yes, and Lewis Black's in it, and he's great in it.
Well, I believe that.
So if you get a chance to catch it on cable, I recommend it highly because it's really a good
film.
Wrong!
Try again, dumbass!
Oh, wow.
All right, don't watch it.
That's automatic. Okay. There's nothing we can do about
heads
that.
Up. Let's take a look at the movies coming out this weekend, shall we? Kit Kittredge, An American Girl.
What is that?
Comes out today. Kit Kittredge!
What is
this,
that?
This American Girl is some sort of preteen phenomenon?
Some sort of doll thing where girls go to the stores and they buy a doll and then it's like build a life around it and they buy a pet for it and buy a house for it. And
right. That's right.
Literally a house, not just like a dollhouse. You have to buy a house for the
really?
Doll.
Your and doll they made a movie around that?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think there's a series of books, too, that are very, very popular about these characters as well. I mean, I think there's some sort of built-in fan base to this thing.
This is a drama based on a popular line of dolls set in the Great Depression.
What?
Young Kit Kittredge, played by Abigail Breslin, looks to weigh in on the Great Depression by having a story she's written about the Depression published in Cincinnati's major newspaper. Kit Kittredge, An American Girl.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Oh, stop. It's just for the little ones.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
little.
Aren't your daughters into the American Girl phenomenon?
I think they were for a little bit getting the dolls.
They
but
have to go to the store. There's a place in the Grove.
Yeah.
Just packed with girls every day of the week. They're in there buying accessories for their dolls and naming their dolls and getting their dolls pap smears and things.
Oh,
and
just, well.
Yeah,
oh.
No, you have to go the whole route. There's the whole healthcare system for the dolls. It's just, it's quite elaborate.
Giggity, giggity, giggity. Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. Also opening this weekend, as Bean mentioned, is a face-off between two high-profile comedies, The Love Guru and Get Smart. Face-off being the operative word because The Love Guru, see, is about hockey.
Face-off hockey.
See what I
mean?
Yeah,
how does Mike Myers work the Indian guru guy into a story about the Stanley Cup? I am very fuzzy on the details of this plot.
It's the same old story, Bean. an Indian love guru has to... Is Davy Jones playing the tambourine in your house again?
Sorry.
That was a stupid dog.
It was Atomic. Atomic, sit down!
Is there no place for your dogs to be when we do the show other than up against your microphone?
They have to be on top of it.
Is there nowhere on your vast estate that you live on a freaking island with acres of land? Is there no place to put your dogs so that they won't constantly rattle their chains while we're doing the show?
Have Jesus take it out.
He was just jumping off the couch, that's all. Wait, just ignore it. No one else will even notice it.
Who dresses your dogs? Lenny Kravitz? What the hell was on that dog?
What kind of bling is your dog wearing?
It's just they've got a name tag and with a dress info and a run, and then they've got their, you know, their health tag.
Scrooge. I thought Jacob Marley was coming to visit me. Tell me about the ghost of Christmas past.
Yeah. Tell me about the Love Guru. What's it all about, Ralph?
It's a typical story of a Indian love guru who's brought into the world of professional hockey when one of the black hockey all-stars has to try to get his wife back from a rival before the Stanley Cup takes place and the Maple Leafs play in it.
Another
one of those?
Another one of those.
Huh. First of all, I'm so tired of the hackneyed story of the black superstar hockey players. Enough with that.
Yeah, I agree.
We know the NHL is just filled with talented black athletes. And secondly, yes, we know they all need love gurus to straighten out their relationships before the Stanley Cup. We're aware of that. This is old news. Why would you put this in a movie?
Yeah.
I'm afraid of this film. This film scares me.
Me too.
Oh, did I mention the Maple Leafs are owned by a midget? Played by Vern Troyer. It just gets more and more boring and hackneyed the more you talk about this film.
I agree with everything you're saying, but the point that we keep making, and I think Mike said this on the air this week, is that you almost have to give Mike Myers the benefit of the doubt because he's got a pretty good track record of pulling stuff off. Yeah. I agree.
It's been a while, though.
Yeah.
It has been. This
since
is his,
he's pulled something off.
This is his first original character, I guess, since Austin Powers.
And you know, Jessica Alba is asked to act in this film.
Ouch.
That's trouble.
Just saying.
Hmm.
There's a lot of question marks.
I'm in.
For me, on this.
Well, we don't doubt that.
Based
we
on all right. that, I'm in.
Here's a scene from The Love Guru where Mike Myers, as the titular Love Guru, meets the owner of the Toronto Maple Leafs, played by Vern Troyer, the Midget.
All right.
Please enjoy.
You are the owner of the ice hockey team, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Actually, it's Leafs.
Who said that? Oh! How did you get there? This little guy scared me. How do you do? Shrimp?
What'd you call me?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your gnome. Name!
I find that term condescending.
Condescending? That's a big word for you.
Hmm. Okay, maybe
still
that,
in, Kevin? Maybe that didn't highlight the comedy that will be delivered. Maybe.
I didn't catch your gnome. Name.
Because he's a little guy.
Right. Let us know on that, Kevin, if you would.
Yeah, bring us a book report in on that one.
I'm still in, but now I'm scared.
You should be scared.
And the second comedy this weekend that is going up against The Love Guru is Get Smart. The big budget. What?
Oh.
Big budget. The big budget. I've been saying midget so much, it's stuck in my head. The big budget, big screen version of the popular 60s TV series Get Smart. Get Smart was a spoof on the James Bond craze of the 60s, starring Don Adams as secret agent Maxwell Smart with his beautiful co-agent Agent 99. They tried to foil the plot of the evil organization known as Chaos. Well, all the same elements are in place for this film, but sadly, I went to see Get Smart, and it doesn't pull it off with nearly the sense of humor or the sense of style that the TV series had.
Well, sorry about that, Chief.
What if you never saw the TV series, or you don't remember it well?
If that was the case, then I still think you would find this film pleasant.
Okay.
But not particularly memorable and or funny.
So you're not going to be dying to go back.
It's much more, it's an action comedy that leans heavily on the action,
okay,
less so on the comedy.
Mm.
Here's
Steve
the
Carell.
Thing. Steve Carell is very game in this. He really gives it his best shot, but the script is working against him.
Mm.
Sadly, they've missed the point of what made the series so strong, which I thought if they had stayed in the same vein as the series, this would be a very successful film.
Well, they do different.
In the series, Maxwell Smart is an arrogant secret agent who thinks he's all that. But
right,
he thinks he's solving. But he's a bumbling idiot.
Right, but he doesn't know it.
He thinks he's the man. He thinks he's got it all going on, but he just is an idiot and just accidentally sort of saves the day. In this film, Steve Carell plays Maxwell Smart as sort of a sad sack, insecure loser who desperately wants to be a secret agent like his idol, played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who's like the suave, super cool agent, the James Bond type agent. And he just feels sort of sorry for himself. He's not very good with the ladies. And he finally gets his big break. He gets a chance to be a secret agent. And he goes out with 99, and she pretty much saves his ass and carries him throughout their mission.
Okay.
So it's very, she has a lot more to do. And Anne Hathaway is beautiful and very good in the role as 99. But the comedy came out of the original Get Smart, the comedy came out of Get Smart being sort of very cocky and full of himself, but being an idiot, and everyone sort of rolling their eyes, even though he had no idea how dumb he was.
He was the only one that didn't know
exactly.
He was a bumbling idiot.
And that was a lot more entertaining, I think. And they veer away from that style in this film, and I think it weakens it. I don't think it's nearly as funny.
I mean,
God almighty.
There's nothing we can say. You know, all that being said, though, as I mentioned, I'm a huge fan of the TV series, so I knew automatically I'd be comparing the two. If you never saw the series, or like Kevin said, you don't know much about it or remember much about it, it's a fine film. It's okay. It's okay. You won't
it's okay.
hate it. It's okay.
I hope they put that on the poster, Ralph, and give you credit.
Okay. If it's hot out and you want to go and get in the air conditioning for a couple hours, eat some popcorn and watch a movie, it's fine. It's a nice little diversion. But I think it really missed the mark. It could have been great.
Yeah.
And they work a lot of the old catchphrases from the series into the movie, like "Sorry about that, Chief," and "Missed it by that much," and all sort of the classic "Get Smartisms."
Right? Ow!
Sorry.
Holy smoke!
That was me.
Do you
I'm
just
sorry.
Not want to do the show?
That was completely. What an accident. Kind of I'm weird sorry. Noises are you sending us through this whole thing?
That was an accident.
Well, stop it.
Here's a scene between Maxwell Smart from Control, is the name of his secret agency, and the head of Chaos, a character known as Siegfried, played by Terrence Stamp. And here's another thing. Siegfried in the series was one of the funniest characters on the show. He was the Maxwell Smart of chaos. He was sort of an arrogant, stupid man. And in this film, it's played very sort of straight by Terrence Stamp, the actor Terrence Stamp. Here, Maxwell Smart is trying to convince Siegfried that he is not a member, a secret agent from Control.
Who are you?
My name is Nudnik Spilkas. Who are you?
I am Siegfried.
I understand that you're the man to see if someone is interested in acquiring items of a nuclear nature.
How do I know you're not Control?
If I were Control, you'd already be dead.
If you were Control, you'd already be dead.
Well, neither of us is dead, so I'm obviously not from Control.
This actually makes sense.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's not bad.
But it may be one of the few funny things.
Yeah. Hmm. The whole thing is sort of like you look at it and you smile and it's just kind of a pleasant thing and it moves along very quickly and it's...
You like Steve Carell.
You like Steve Carell and Anne Hathaway is very pretty to look at.
The fat dude from Borat.
Where you got him and you got Alan Arkin as the chief and it's all sort of fine.
Yeah.
Well, I think you put your finger on the button here, Ralph, in that it's 150 degrees outside, so this is better than being outside.
And yeah. They'll probably do well.
Here's all you need to know. This was the Mel Brooks, legendary comic legend, and Buck Henry, another comic legend, created the series. This film was written by the same guys who wrote Failure to Launch with Matthew McConaughey and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Okay.
Bad
that's the level of comedy we're dropping in. That's the discrepancy between the two, the original
it's
and
a bit
the
of a fall off.
It is. It's a bit of a comic fall off. But as I mentioned, it's fine. It's not the least bit objectionable. There you go.
Not the least bit objectionable.
You won't hate it.
K-Rock's Ralph says
you won't hate it. So you got that going for you if you're looking for a diversion during the hot summer weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
America's foremost commentator on everything. Our friend Lewis Black joins us after the news at 9. By the way, Kevin, I think he's on Larry King tonight, and so is Motley Crue. How's that for the 1-2-3 punch that you've been waiting for?
I hope so. Larry is so out of it.
Larry King with Lewis Black and Motley Crue on the same show sounds like fun. Speaking of shows, a couple days ago, Ralph was talking about a TV survey that just came out on something called TVCrunch.com. They had a list of the 25 worst sitcoms of all time. And some of the ones are things you might expect. You could quibble with, your Charles in Charge, your Mr. Belvedere or whatnot.
Sure.
But there are some others on there that really caught our attention because there were shows that were on so long ago or so for such a short time that we had never heard of them. And one of them was called Whoops. Whoops was the name of the show. And the more we find out about it, the more fascinated we are with it. And I guess, Lisa, you found a guy who knows a lot about Whoops, right?
Yeah, a friend of mine actually is a freelance editor for Fox and emailed me and said, this was like 16 years ago.
Was that how long it was?
Yeah, that he had actually had to try to make promos for the show. And the show was horrible. So I asked him to come on and tell us about it and what that it was like.
Mark, good morning.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Ralph and Lisa May.
You worked on Whoops?
Yes.
Awesome.
I have to stress, first of all, though, I am a freelance editor. My views do not reflect those of Fox Broadcast.
Of course.
Okay. So it was a Fox show in 1992. How many times did it air, Mark?
Actually, there are 10 episodes.
Wow, we missed it.
I got to get those.
Yeah, you know what? It never would have lasted 10 in this environment. These days, if a show is as bad as Whoops apparently was, it gets pulled after like 2.
Actually, through the first act.
Mark, for people who haven't seen Whoops, try to explain the comedy.
Yeah, it's. I guess you'd be able to say it's like a post-apocalyptic Gilligan's Island. It started out. The show starts out a typical day in America. You know, people are watching baseball on the East Coast. People on the West Coast are surfing, and in the Midwest there's a parade, and a couple of pesky kids are playing with a remote control radio car that sets off a nuclear device that starts World War III and kills everybody on Earth. Comedy gold.
Okay, so a nuclear explosion happens, and everybody on Earth is dead except for 6 people.
Yes.
And those 6 people are all wacky and they interact with each other in strange and funny ways?
Absolutely. Yeah. So basically you've got Alice, who's a feminist, and she was saved by being in the basement of her bookstore. Frederick, who was a pathologist, who was in the morgue. So, okay, these things could happen. Jack, who was a homeless guy that was under the interstate. Okay, well, he could have survived
under
that.
The interstate?
Yeah, that doesn't seem safe.
What kind of protection is that?
Mark, how do they find one another? It's a big country. If there are only 6 people left in America, how do they all find each other?
They all wander upon this little farmhouse And yeah, I can't think. You have to stretch your imagination.
They all accidentally wandered into the same farmhouse.
Yeah, kind of crazy.
And then there's handlers in this too.
If one of the guys is like in Texas or something, and someone else is in New Hampshire, do they just like magically start gravitating toward a farmhouse
must
in Kansas
go
and they all
to
meet
farmhouse
up?
Farmhouse in Kansas.
Yes, it must have been a beacon or something. But yeah, one of the characters that you mentioned the other day about the narrator, this guy Mark, is actually played by Evan Handler, who Lisa will remember from Sex and the City. Is Evan Goldenblatt.
And more Californication.
Californication.
Yeah. But he had hair then, he says.
Yeah. And he had hair.
So what do they do during the show? I mean, how do they spend their time? Just trying to survive or looking for other people or what?
Well, they're supposed to repopulate the Earth. So one of the episodes, there was four guys and two girls. The four guys got into kind of an argument about who gets to do it with the hot girl and who gets to do it with the feminist. So,
feminist humor.
That's comedy gold right there.
Exactly.
Hey, how did this happen? Out of all the ideas, you know, you got to limit the number of shows you produce and all that. How does this make it all the way through?
The rumor I heard, because I asked that same question 16 years ago, is like, why? And I guess it was done by Carsey Warner, which was a big company,
right.
And still is. Yeah. And Fox was only 5 years old, and all of a sudden they're offering us a show.
They did Roseanne, right? That's the same company that did Roseanne, so they probably had some credibility in the TV network
and
community.
Fox really, you know, we had some really bad shows back in the day.
Sure.
So that was like, wow, these guys are offering us, let's take it. Oh, wow. Yeah, so.
So you tried to make a promo out of it and couldn't find anything funny?
Yeah, well, I've got a great, one of my favorite stories is one of the producers was working on it, took the one of the shows up to the boss. This boss is a promo genius and said, there is not one funny joke in the show. So he said, I'll watch this with you. And they sat and watched the show, and Jeff sat there quietly watching it. End of the show, he walks up to the machine, ejects the tape, and stamps on it into a million pieces.
Oh, my God. For a show that's supposed to be a comedy.
You can't find one thing to put in the promo.
Can I play the clip that you sent over?
Oh, please.
All right, this is from Whoops.
In Los Angeles, the biggest concern was beating the heat. And in a small town in America's heartland, a parade was being held. The people ate hot dogs, listened to martial tunes played by the local high school band, and craned their necks to admire the latest in high-tech weaponry from nearby Fort Pratt. But at the very moment the homecoming queen was receiving a deservedly warm reception from the crowd, some darn kids were playing near one of the missiles.
Launch from it.
Retaliation was swift. Failsafe and doomsday mechanisms kicked in exactly as programmed. And in less than 50 minutes, but for a handful of survivors, the world had been destroyed. Looking back on it, it had to be considered a bad parade.
And cut.
Wow!
That's so awful.
Did they say some darn kids were playing by a nuclear missile?
Darn kids.
Oh.
Guys, it has to be on DVD. It has to at least be on YouTube. There must be episodes up on YouTube.
And I know Lisa's birthday is coming up.
Yes,
so
it is.
I
yes.
was able to find on the web, they said six available.
You're the
I
best.
I bought one, and so we should have a viewing party, and then maybe we'll just jump up and down on the DVDs after.
That's awesome.
Mark says it is now the benchmark. It's like, is it Whoops bad? That's how they
wow.
determine how bad a show is.
That's great.
You know what? We've been making fun of carpoolers for so long, Lisa.
Oh,
now I think we owe you an apology. It sounds like Carpoolers is now, seriously, Carpoolers is the Simpsons now compared
yes.
to Whoops.
Absolutely. It's the new benchmark.
All right, Mark, thanks for coming on and sharing your memories of Whoops. I know that that's not what people were expecting when they turned on the radio this morning, but we're glad you called, dude.
I have to go back to therapy.
Thank you, Ben. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Ali Lohan.
Yes.
Is going to be a movie star.
Lindsay's
little sister?
Little sister.
I thought she was going to be a singer.
Lisa, it doesn't matter. Just as long as she's somehow in front of people doing something, that's all she cares
needs
about.
To be a star.
Are you kidding me? Singing just seemed easier, but now maybe it'll be acting. Whatever it takes, just please love me.
Just make me famous.
Oh, she's horrible, and she's not attractive, and she's talentless, and she's...
And she's a brat.
Stupid, and she
show.
Has horrible grammar, and... Yeah, me and Lindsay are really close.
But other than that,
horrible New York accent.
She's delightful.
Foul. Well, story breaks today that a director is talking to Ali Lohan about being the lead in the big budget remake of the 1986 movie Troll.
Oh, dude, lame.
Director John Carl Buechler is remaking his 1986 camp classic Troll.
I've not heard of that.
What was
no
Troll?
One has. No one has. I think it was, there was sort of a run on these leprechaun, troll, gremlin type movies. They're all sort of knockoffs of the gremlin movie. Hobgoblins was one, and they did one with Leprechaun. I think Troll was one of those two.
Okay.
Anyway, the guy who did that is remaking his film, and he is going to cast Ali Lohan as the lead.
Wait, he's the guy that made the original, and he's remaking it?
Yeah.
No.
And this is independently financed, too, which means he just somehow got money together, and he's going to try to make another movie.
Wow.
She will, in the lead, she was great, says the director. The camera loves her. She's a really good actress. I am personally going to fight for her. He says the $25 million remake of Troll is being financed independently. He says of his film, it's a retelling of the original story, but with some twists.
No one knew the
Please
original
don't
story.
Ruin no, don't ruin our vision of the original Troll. When you remake a movie, you just take away from the classic that you're remaking, and don't change anything in Troll that would weaken its integrity.
King of Mexico says Troll was awesome.
Of course he does. There you go.
That's all you need to know. That's it.
Is that KOM thinks it was awesome.
Yeah.
The original film, by the way, starred Sonny Bono and Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Wow.
Well, whatever night we're getting together to watch Whoops, let's be sure to watch Troll
double
at the same
feature.
Time.
Whoops and Troll. But Ali Lohan shouldn't be in any movie. I don't care how bad it is. Just no. Just say no
Just
to
say
Ali
no.
Lohan is what I'm saying. Amy Winehouse is not in good shape. There's the news.
Really?
Yeah. Insiders say that she will be asked to stay in the hospital for a while, at least if her family has anything to do with it. Amy was rushed into the hospital after suffering a fainting spell. Earlier
she
in the
just
week.
Fainted.
Rumor has it doctors are now trying to wean her off her beloved heroin in the hopes that she can get clean and sober once and for all. To which I say, good luck, doctors!
It is kind of a shame because she's at the point where she ought to be coming out with a new album about now to kind of, you know, maintain whatever momentum her career had built up, but clearly she's in no position to do that.
Since when do they call the nods from heroin fainting spells? When you nod off after you shoot up.
When you have a PR guy.
Blackouts are now known as fainting spells.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I drank 4 bottles of tequila last night, and then I had a fainting spell.
Can't figure out what caused it.
Oh, I should check myself in, have them run some tests. What the hell? Michael Jackson wants you to dress like him.
Yes.
Life and Style Weekly Magazine reports the King of Pop is working on his own clothing line.
Oh, my God,
Burkas?
Yes.
Burkas?
And here's the beautiful thing. Burkas. Since he is wearing the Burkas now. He's working on a clothing line and a line of bedding, all in the same line. So you can just buy his sheets and put them on your bed, or you can
wear them.
Drape yourself in them and go to the UFC fights.
When was the last time you saw him wearing just jeans and a t-shirt? Just something normal.
Never.
Forever.
Not ever, ever.
And one of my favorite game shows of all time is coming back to television. I was trying to find a way to pitch this a while ago, and no one seemed very interested. But apparently The Match Game is coming back to television.
I don't remember how they do that.
Oh, I loved The Match Game.
How did they do The Match Game?
The Match Game was great. They would write a funny little story and leave a blank.
Uh-huh.
And you'd have to fill it in. As you as
the
contestant would have to fill it in.
Okay.
Then you have 6 celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And if your answers match their answers, that's how you win the game.
I see.
So if I were to say, the police showed up to the crime scene and looking at the body said, the murderer was a plumber. How do you know that? Asked one of the cops. I can tell because the victim was blanked to death. And so you have to fill in the blank there.
And then the celebrities do it, and then you match.
Right. So if you say he was plunged to death, or, you know, he was roto-rooted to death, or whatever, and then they would have to give their answers, and if you match up, you get points.
Sounds like a tough sell.
No, it was a big hit when it was originally on. And they're bringing it back. According to The Hollywood Reporter, with Norm Macdonald.
Oh, I like him. He's crazy.
On the panel. Sarah Silverman.
Love her. All right.
Super Dave Osborne.
Funny.
Nice.
Great. Great.
Scott Thompson from Kids in the Hall.
I'm in.
Funny.
Rashida Jones from The Office.
Nice. Oh.
Wow.
And Niecy Nash from Reno 911 as the panelists on the show.
Quite a group.
At least for the pilot stage.
Sounds like a good group.
I think it would be very funny, and I think it'll be hugely successful. And
Hey, the password's back. Why not Match Game?
Why not? Match Game was great. The bank teller complained, "I hate when old man Periwinkle comes in to deposit his money. Because he always keeps..."
Anything?
What?
How did I hear it? Then how did I hear it?
Whisper something and make it.
See? That would be a funny answer. And then we'd go to our celebrities and see if they would match.
And they would all say the same thing.
With that filthy curse that you just said. And then they play the music. Doom, doom, boom, 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 boom.
While they fill it out, you mean?
Yeah, while they're waiting for the answer to be.
I'd like to play.
It's great. It's great.
What if we rape Kevin?
What is that about?
I don't know. Somebody wants to rape you.
All right.
Can you blame him? Today's celebrity birthdays. Oscar-winning actor Martin Landau is 77 years old today. Legendary musician Brian Wilson, creator of the Beach Boys sound, also just retarded. He's 66 years old. Michael Anthony of Van Halen is 54. John Taylor of Duran Duran turns 48. Nicole Kidman celebrates her 41st birthday. Josh Lucas is 37. Christopher Mintz-Plasse from Superbad. Is that Plasse?
Is it Platts?
Platts? Platts?
I thought it was Platts, but I don't know.
Go with Platts. I don't know.
Let's just go with McLovin.
McLovin is 19 years old today. And Lionel Richie celebrates his 59th birthday today. And a listener asked us, speaking of Lionel, if we could play that little piece of solid gold Bean Baxter when he was a top 40 DJ talking about Lionel Richie.
Bean has always been super cheesy. He loves super cheesy.
He loves puns. He loves wordplay. He loves cheese.
Here he is as Flash Phillips.
95 PGC at 432-9595. All conversations on the air, of course, are strictly confidential. That's one for Burtonsville, for Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
That's us yelling at him.
Flash Phillips. Flash Phillips. WABA.
He gets more Richie
every time we play one of his songs.
Hey, GBGB Gene Baxter. And you know he was super happy with that. That was
yes. He was doing like the hockey goal pump fist thing, skating backwards in the studio when he went to commercials. I am on fire. I am so good.
I hope people got that.
Oh, I rule.
It's more rich.
Dean, I reject you totally.
Look out, Casey Kasem. I'm coming after you. That's what he said.
I was just trying to put food on the table back in the 80s. That's all I was doing.
I hope it didn't work.
For your kids and... your wife and kids. And oh, no, wait a minute. You were a lonely single dude eating top ramen. Give me that food on the table business.
Plenty of cheese, though.
I don't think that cheese to eat. That's true.
I think that tape is aged well. I don't think.
You're spectacular. I'm Ralph Garman.
Oh, Bean. I wish I knew how to quit you.
I walked the showbiz beat.
Hey, guys, it looks... that's that dude from that TV show.
Yeah.
It is that
the judge.
The pissed guy.
It's the judge.
It's the judge.
It's the judge. Show.
That's right. Kevin Beach on K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ, America's most foremost... wait a minute, I screwed that up. America's foremost commentator on everything joined us in the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, Grammy winner Louis Black.
Oh.
Here at K-Rock. Hey, Lou.
Hey, how we doing?
Very good.
Yeah.
We were telling you off air, this is the last hour of the Kevin and Bean Show before vacation. So, frankly, we don't care that you're here. We don't care if it's funny.
No, we
don't
care what... we care that he's here because we don't have to be funny.
Oh, that's right. Because Liz is going to do the heavy lifting for us.
Yeah. For an hour?
Yeah, no, I would do it, actually. This is the last. What's interesting is it parallels my last day of the book tour.
Oh, no,
no kidding.
So I actually care less about what I'm saying.
Perfect.
You could say.
All right. True or false? You're on Larry King tonight?
I am on Larry King tonight.
Is it going to be live or have you already taped it?
No, it's live.
Oh, ooh. You know, because he's got Motley Crue on tonight's show, too. That's the they've been advertising both all week long.
I know. I'm going to actually have tattoos done for the rest of the day.
I got to tell you.
just to fit in?
I got to tell you, I never cared about Larry King his entire career. But now that he has completely lost his mind, I love him.
Yeah.
He interviewed Kid Rock for a whole hour and at the end of it said, "I'm looking forward to meeting you." I'm like, wow, this is great.
Kid, you're great. I'm looking forward to meeting you.
The one who's really excited about it is my friend Kathleen Madigan.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Another funny
she TiVos him. I do, too.
Oh, you
I do,
he's
too.
Hilarious.
Because he's
hilarious.
Lost his mind.
Yeah,
he literally has lost his mind.
My and favorite is when he called Ringo Starr George.
Yes.
There's only two Beatles left alive. You think you could work out the two that are living and refer to them by the right names.
And one of them was in the studio and one on the phone.
No, they were in the
They're both
studio.
In the studio.
Paul and Ringo were sitting next to each other.
Here, I
and
have
Paul
that.
Wouldn't let it go.
Yeah.
I have that clip. Here you go.
Where were you when John passed?
When John passed, I was in Sussex, at my home in Sussex. That was just the shock of all shocks, you know.
George, where were you?
George?
No, this is Ringo.
Ringo, where were you?
I was in the Bahamas.
I was getting to bring George back.
I was
no, you weren't, Larry. You've got
shut up,
name
it's my
wrong.
Turn.
I know, but you've got your name wrong, Ringo.
I know,
on national
give
television.
A break.
I love
love that they busted him.
You just have to. You just have to. I know you're there to publicize your book and stuff, but you have to tell us that you're not going to give him a pass if he screws up. You got to stick it to him like that.
I don't. He never screws up around me because they. You know why?
Why?
Because they want me to come on and be the big barking dog.
Oh, I see.
So it's like literally the first time I did the show. They went, we started out, and because I actually, if you have a conversation, I actually know Larry now, and I've done benefits, and I've hung around with him. And
so he really knows who you are. And that makes
a difference.
We've
actually sat and yacked and stuff, and it's fun, you know, and you kind of go on and you think like this, you have a conversation.
Of
where
course.
It goes, okay, so we got to Larry King, we go through Larry King, we kind of do it the way human beings do it.
Right.
No.
Well, how does he do
that's
it?
That doesn't work for CNN, does it?
No,
that's not what they want.
No, we started with the conversation, and then I heard in the earbud that they give you, come on, goose him up a little. Come on, get him going. Get Lewis going. Would you get him going?
They wanted Larry to get you going?
Yeah, and I turned to Larry and I said, Larry, I don't need you to get me going. I said, just tell him to watch out, okay? And so for the next hour, I was like, arr, 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 arr. And he laughed.
I'll play your little game, CNN, fine. Dance, monkey, dance.
Oh, I love Larry.
But
he's just crazy.
If he screws up, I'll go after
him. Try to trick him, too. See if you can trick him, because he's gone.
By the time I get to that interview, I'm gone.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You're going to be blasted, right? Yeah. You're already drinking.
Of course.
How long you been out on the road promoting Me of Little Faith?
20 days.
Are you so sick of you at this point?
You know, really, no, but actually I'm making the transition because I've discovered that all I'm doing is promoting myself. The last time I was on, I was promoting the show.
Of course.
So, and I'm going to be on again promoting the show in 2 more weeks. So that's all I'm going to do.
Just promote?
I'm not going to do anything except promote.
Just sell stuff.
Yeah.
I like it.
Just let me tell you where you can. I'm going to do shows in which I promote my next show.
I like it.
Hour and a half. But boy, wait till you see me. That show is going to be really something.
I am funny.
That's going to be a good one.
Like, it's almost like politicians who spend all of their time in office running for re-election. I mean, it's essentially that's what you're doing.
Yeah. No one told me. It's the dark side of it all.
Yeah.
Let me tell you where you can meet the great Lewis Black. He's going to be in Pasadena tonight at the legendary Vroman's Bookstore, which is, of course, on 695 East Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena. At 7:30, you're going to be doing a reading from the new book, Me of Little Faith, and a signing. You get a pretty good crowd. A lot of people come out to get Lewis Black's name on a book.
Yeah, it's not bad, you know.
How do the readings go? Is it it's you reading you?
Yeah, no, I don't really read.
You don't. You just rant.
You just promote the next time you're going to be in town when you're going to be reading.
Exactly.
Next time when I come, I'm going to read
my next book. And then I go around and I take the covers of David Sedaris's book.
Excellent.
And put them on mine.
I like
it's
it.
Smart. It's the smartest move I've ever done.
Move on a product that way.
Crazy.
I just bought his book over the weekend and got yours for free. So I feel like I did the right thing.
How are you going to treat him like that?
Lou's book is called Me of Little Faith. And of course, he is one of America's most famous Jews. But I didn't expect. I was surprised that you chose the topic of religion to write a book about. What is it about it that made you think, hey, this is worthy of a full book?
A check.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Which is really the wrong reason to write a book on.
But as long as you're upfront about that.
Religion is hot right now, as you know, Lou, with the Sam Harris book and the Christopher Hitchens book. And, you know, I think a lot of people have been beat over the head with religion over the last few years in this country. And maybe that's kind of where some of it is coming from, is everybody's reevaluating their relationship with religion.
I hope so, especially those idiots running for office.
Yeah.
I'm sick of that. I really am. That was a part of it is that, I mean, part of it came out of the my response to all of the stuff that I've been doing in my act about religion has come from these morons who use public office and use religion. In the 50s, I was, you know, I'm that old that in the 50s when I was like 10, 11, 12, nobody talked about this.
They never said,
it was prayer in the schools. Well, that's a legitimate debate. You know, are you going to take away the, because prayer in the schools is basically either think it's really important or like me, I thought, don't take it away because it's like my morning coffee. You know, by the time I'm finished, I go, oh, I'm in school. But, you know, that made sense. Now this kind of, I don't care who their faith is in. I'm really supposed to believe when they walk in the church they're paying attention. Are you kidding me? That's nonsense.
We have some bigger issues than who they pray to, really, when it comes to public officials.
Can they do math?
That would be one.
That's a great point.
Nice. Can they do multiplication tables?
They should give them that in the debates.
Yeah, really.
Well, that's what I said.
11 times 12, go.
Now. No, I say you sit them in a room. like, you know, a small room like this with like an aging teacher.
Right.
And who gives them the test, and they can't talk. And you watch them take a test.
I like
you
it.
You watch them do their multiplication tables. No sound, maybe some underscoring with some patriotic music.
Sure.
And you just would go back and forth and watch their faces.
The presidential aptitude test, the PATs.
That's like a great idea.
Got it. That's very good.
And then pencils down.
That's yours.
Lou, do you – so it just has to infuriate you when you see how much TV time and how much debate is over the preachers that go to the various churches that the candidates attend, too.
Wouldn't you rather watch that guy, Hagee, debate
Jeremiah Wright?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be awesome.
Oh, I could watch that for days. Watch those two guys whack at each other about their idiocies.
Lewis Black is here. Me of Little Faith is the name of the book. It's out now. He's going to be in Pasadena tonight, and we'll take a quick break and come back with more. Lewis Black in the studio. He's got a new book out called Me of Little Faith.
And it essentially, Lou, this is fair, isn't it? It basically covers all aspects of religion, everything from the Jesus on the tortilla to the televangelist to the history of all the various religions. I mean, you cover a lot of ground in this thing.
I cover a lot of ground in really short chapters.
Yeah.
It's the only
religious book that can be read really comfortably in a bathroom.
Why?
They should put that on the back of the book.
Really short chapters.
Okay.
There's nothing,
the chapters,
you know, when you go in,
it's like your average movement.
You finish the chapter, you finish, you put the book down.
I see.
I read a lot of books that way. That's
two
good
birds
to know.
With one stone. Don't act like you don't do it.
Do you timed the book out that way? You went in and timed it?
That's
tried
the way
it
I,
out?
It's the way I think, apparently.
He was writing it on the toilet, so he knew when to wrap up the chapter. When he reached for the paper, he knew he was done writing at that point.
Were you searching for something when you wrote this book? Are you looking for something to believe in, or had you already made up your mind on all these topics and just wanted to get it out on paper while you were remembering it?
I realized that there's a play at the end that I wrote in like 1981 and with a friend of mine, Mark Lynn Baker, Perfect Strangers.
Oh, yeah.
He and I, that was our first big break in New York. And it was just, and then he got, you know, the movie with Peter O'Toole,
My Favorite Year.
Oh, My Favorite Year.
Yeah, great.
And so he and I did this thing, and I reread it, you know, because I didn't know when they asked me to write a book about religion. I reread this thing, and I went, and it's all about a church of comedy, and it's all about how you go there to laugh. And I went, you know, that's everything I got to say about religion is in this play. So I had to write all the other stuff to get people to this, to where I was. And that's really the way I wrote it. The guy gave the editor the play and said, look, does this work for you? And he went, this is great. And so I said, okay, perfect. And that's really, I mean, to me, that's, you know, that's in essence, I think, what I end up saying in a way is that comedy and religion serve the same purpose. You know, they both give comfort, and they both do. They draw their highest audiences on the weekends.
That is true.
It's fascinating to me, and you hit on this in the book, that objectively, all religions sound crazy from the outside. When you actually stop and write down what it is that the various faiths believe in, like your chapter on Mormonism was really eye-opening to me, because I know that Mormonism is American-born, and I know that it's a fairly new religion. But the story of what they believe, I mean, Lou, it's crazy, right?
It's really, it's nuts. But you think it's nuts until... We just were working on the TV show, you know, and we
The Root of All Evil?
The Root of All Evil, and we were discussing, we're doing Disney versus Scientology. And
I didn't
know the history of Scientology, and that...
Oh, yeah.
Scary, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
And that makes the Mormon discussion look like science. Sure, Jesus, I got that. He was here the first time, then he came back and went to America, sure. As opposed to Xenu and a billion souls in a volcano.
Some bombs.
Yeah.
Now, I know you try hard in the book to warn people right up front, look, if you're a strong believer and are going to be offended by people having fun with this topic, then just put the book down and don't buy it. Having said that, even with your disclaimer out of the way, have you taken any heat from people who are offended by the book?
So far, you know, I've developed this unique niche in society where people like, I'm like in a tiny little room and they show up to see me. And then, you know, and scatter before people know that they're watching, you know, so that they can't be tracked.
And then they go roaches, when you turn the light, they all go under the cabinetry.
It is. It's a great audience because they come, they get it, they know, they bring people who would get it and know. And And somehow the others have been warned. Because when I first started going on the, on this tour, I was taking the offensive. You know, boy, I've made a big mistake. And I did. I was in panic. I'm going, oh, this is really the dumbest thing you do. Write a book on religion, you know. All you can do is, doesn't matter what you say, people aren't going to like it, either side.
Yeah, that's true.
And then I got no reaction. So it was like, I'm like running around yelling and there's no bounce back.
That's what happens to us occasionally is our audience kind of has become, they're familiar with our style and what we mean by stuff. And we say things and then later we think, how did no one complain about that? How did nobody complain about that? It's because they kind of get used to your style and they like it.
Oh, it's the kind of thing that happened. It's that whole, we go back to the, when they went nuts over radio, when Imus made the hoo-ha, and then, all of those things where they do the clip, and then they polish the clip up, and then they repeat the clip a gazillion times.
I'm sorry, I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
Yeah. and his audience, they're like in most of a lot of them are in caves. They got a comb radio and they get Imus.
A what? A comb radio?
Look at a comb radio. You're going to love it. You can do it. You can make it a home. Radio at home.
That's right. Out of a comb.
And you got to
power
comb.
It with a potato.
Well, the book is called Me of Little Faith, and it is very funny. And I hadn't thought about the angle that you're using to sell it, Lou, which is it's short enough chapters. You can just leave it in the John. You'll be done with it in a week. And
Depending on how you feel. If you feel poorly, then you might need a thicker book. It might take you a little longer.
Just read more chapters. That's all.
Read a couple chapters.
It's very invite funny. Some friends in. Do the play at the end. Everyone can go while you're performing.
You can meet Lou at the Vroman's Bookstore on Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena. You've been there before, Lou? That's one of the classics in Southern California.
I never go to bookstores.
Okay. That'll be at 7:30 tonight if you want to have your book signed. And, of course, Lewis Black's The Root of All Evil currently airs in repeats on Comedy Central. But starting next week, you'll be filming some new episodes of the series, too.
We got 10 new ones. I think you're going to like some of these. We got Boob Jobs versus Steroids.
Oh, I like it.
And what was the – oh, God, the – We got one that really irritates me. We got red states versus blue states.
Oh, yeah.
But what irritates me is I wanted to be Democrats versus Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
This
sort of is, by the way.
In a sense.
Right?
It is. But it's not. But red states and blue states change. You know?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Ohio was a blue state. Now it's a red state. And it could probably be a blue state again. And, for years, all of those southern states were blue states.
Right.
That's the dumbest. So I wanted to keep it as Democrats versus Republicans because that just makes me really go.
Right.
And then they went, and then it came back from the network. Oh, make it liberals versus conservatives. No. And then then it went to the guys who were doing the prosecuting of this case, and they converted it back to red states versus blue states, which at least I can get somewhat behind.
Yeah.
But all of that knick-knack. Patty whack, give a dog a bone, crap in the network. It's like, I can't last long.
Comedy Central would get it, but they're the same, aren't they?
They're all the same. Yeah. It's the food network. You're going to use food? Really?
It's outrageous.
You're not using food. We need you to do this with Play-Doh and plastic.
That's a good idea.
We're going to use a different type. This oven is way, way, no. We have a one. We don't use electricity.
Go to Comedy Central and search for Lewis Black's The Root of All Evil. All of them are very funny. And thanks. You're a judge, which is odd. That's probably.
It's really odd. It's wrong.
It's wrong, yes.
I'm glad you're the one who said it.
It is wrong. It's all wrong.
That's why I come on the show.
That's why I enjoy it. Tonight, again, at the Vroman's Bookstore on East Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena, Lewis Black.
Should be about 180 out there.
Good time.
We're doing it outside.
Oh, good.
Good move.
So you want to move it up during the afternoon?
Oh, no.
So we're getting there early before Lou strokes.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
I think maybe Kevin misread the memo about when vacation starts.
Kevin Ryder, report to the air studio, please. Kevin Ryder, report to the air studio. Thank you.
1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, get a prize. Today it's a copy of The Bourne Conspiracy for Xbox 360, plus a brand new Aleaf Jawbone Bluetooth headset. Hey, Kevin, welcome back.
Hey, how are you? What's happening?
We thought maybe you already left on vacation.
Now, air hockey.
Ah, air hockey, sure.
Who are we kidding? Like, I need to be here.
Honestly.
We've been telling management that for years, seriously, but they don't listen to us.
I'm not kidding.
Let's try Michael in Irvine. He's on line three this morning on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Michael, what'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do, nephews?
What'd it do?
What's going on?
May, I wanted to talk to you because we just had a baby girl yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, congrats.
Thank you, and we named her after Lisa May.
Did you?
Seriously.
Yes, we did.
Called her a slut?
Seriously.
The name
we
is
can't think of a name, but I've always loved Lisa May, and that's the name that my wife and I have chosen.
Oh my gosh, so May's her middle name?
May's her middle name.
That is wow. So cool. How that's actually my that? Last name, but everybody calls me Lisa May.
Okay.
That's so nice.
Lisa's middle name is Michael. We can't understand it.
Yeah. By the way, is there any doubt, God, you know, don't be offended here, new father, but there's no doubt she's going to be a stripper now. I mean, seriously, she's going to grow up and be a stripper.
Yeah. Not at all.
I don't think Lisa May is a stripper name, yeah. Frankly.
So no. I think
congratulations, dude.
Yes, that's Thank so you. Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
That's quite a... quite a compliment, Lisa.
It is. I've never had that happen before.
He's telling his wife, Lisa May, I like that. She's like, why? Just no reason. Just I like it. No big deal.
Swept it out of the air.
Don't worry about it. Let's go to Josh in Chatsworth. Good morning, Josh.
What it do, party people? Baby
what it,
boo?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, it's a funny thing happened. I took my manager out for lunch, and as we were leaving, I drove her back to work. She pooped in her pants.
What?
Oh. Yeah. I think it was one of those farts, and then a little bit more.
What?
Oh, too much detail.
Oh no, my butt.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh no, my butt.
Hang on.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh no, my butt.
Back to you.
First of all, is she in ZZ Top?
You know what? She was a chubby manager, but you see through it a little bit, like little brown.
Oh. All right. Thank you.
I was wondering how you knew, because it seemed like that would be the type of thing you wouldn't know unless somebody told you. But if it's visible, I guess that's the answer. Okay.
Smellable.
Oh, no,
that's ugly on every
with
level.
You today?
I'm just what?
You should stay out of the room.
Yeah, he thinks if it's under a certain decibel level, right. It's okay.
I'm just going to whisper really foul things and that. No one will notice.
Anal centric today, too, by the way.
Kyle in Simi Valley, good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hi.
Hey, Ralph?
Yes, sir.
Ever since your little question of where do birds when they die?
Where are all the dead birds? That's right.
Yeah, I've been finding dead crows in all my pools.
Wow.
That's where they're going?
There's the answer.
Finally.
Almost, at least once a day.
Finally, the birds start listening to me and just die where we can see them.
Die where we can find them.
That's right.
Otherwise, we don't trust them.
Dead crows in the pools. Wow, sounds like the happening.
It sure does.
Just stop it.
All right, sorry.
Stop it. Okay.
I'll
Thank you for the call.
About it.
Let's go to Brandon, who is calling from Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning, Brandon.
What to do, nephews?
What to do?
Hey, Ralph.
Yes, sir.
When is Battlestar Galactica coming back, man? I just watched that episode last night, and I'm dying.
This is the last season.
Yeah.
Is that the end of it?
I think that was it.
This is it.
Was that it for good?
Yeah.
They say new episodes coming soon. They found Earth. What, do you know?
From as best of I know, this is the end of the series.
Yeah.
And they're going to come back with a prequel series on Sci-Fi.
Ah.
But this was, as far as I know, the end of the series.
So you got everything you're going to get, Brandon.
That's too bad.
I mean, they found Earth. That's the end of the story, pretty much.
Yeah.
That
it's all downhill after that.
Yeah, exactly.
If you haven't seen that, you can get that on DVD, too.
Great,
that's
great stuff.
Good. Yeah.
Well, it's a shame that that's our final call of the week. It's a shame that's how we're going to end is disappointing a listener, bumming a guy out. I'm sorry to say.
I could do knocked over a porta potty.
No.
I want to say that's where we need more poop.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Only if you talked him under your breath.
Came out of the a-hole. You could see it. You could smell it. It was a stinky, stinky poop.
All right. Yeah. Hey, good times.
I want to thank our friend Joy King for joining us. She is from Wicked Pictures, of course. She's the VP of Special Productions over there. We the People is the movie I'm most looking forward to that they have coming out this election season. Also, thanks to Lewis Black for joining us. The book is in stores now called Me of Little Faith. And as we've mentioned, Roman's Bookstore in Pasadena tonight at 7:30 to meet Lou in person.
And Doug Kriegel from Channel 4 for staying alive. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Do you have any marijuana in my book?
Pass it over to me.
The best tonic is chronic.
Roll another one.
You got any weed?
Just like the other one.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh, hi. Did you want to buy some drugs?
And I need another hit.
beautiful Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Discipline, new music from Nine Inch Nails, also some Blink 182 coming up, Radiohead, Coldplay, and more on the way from K-Rock.
Roll, roll, roll.
Exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Just like the other one.
God damn it, I love pot.
This one seems to be about to end.
Smoke weed.
I don't have another cent.
I'm married just between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
What was that?
Well, don't fuck up that joint.
An abomination.
Just pass it around.
Promoting sin.
Okay, okay. Quit gawking. Show's over. Nothing to see here. Get about your business, huh? Go on.
God damn it. I love that show.
Me too. I want it to be on again right now.
It was the best show since no other show.
That was quite a show.
Peace, love, and chicken grease, man.
You're free to go. But we're cool, right?
Well, this was a big bust.
That's what she said.